The Oceano Community Service District Board of Directors meeting to order September 9th, 2009. Roll call, please.
President Mann.
Here.
Vice President Hill.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Please rise and join me for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. Go ahead.
Hello there. My name is Carolyn Novak, and I am a national and local volunteer for York, San Luis Obispo County Red Cross. I'm also the public affairs coordinator. And I just wanted to come and speak to you for a couple minutes about being prepared in disaster, because at times of disaster, we tend to lose our thoughts and not really know which way to turn, who to talk to, who to ask for help, who to ask for answers about what our communities will do in disaster. So what I do when I'm not responding to disasters is I come out and I speak to groups such as you, because you are our leaders of all of our small communities that make up San Luis Obispo County. So I'm here to urge you to start thinking about what you and your community needs to do in case a large disaster hits our county. Or a small disaster hits and you're the town that it hits, whether it's a tsunami or a flood or an earthquake or some accident at Diablo. You, as a town, as a community, need to be ready to act. And then in conjunction with your actions, we, as a county, will come in and assist you. The Red Cross, Salvation Army, Goodwill. We will back up fire, police, sheriff, EMTs, all of the local governments. But if we're not having the conversations before the disaster actually strikes, if we're not having dialogue together among the communities and throughout our county, when disaster strikes, it's going to be a train wreck. So that's why I'm here tonight, is to urge you not only to look through the information that I gave you, which walks you through your own personal preparedness, but it also gives you ideas of what you can do for your businesses, your children, seniors, your pets. What will you do at home to be ready for a disaster so that you can gather probably right around here and get your community back up and running safely? And how can we assist you? How can the rest of the county step up if something happens in Oceano and you need our help? So I'm urging you not only to look through the information that I gave you, because I don't have time to get to all of it. I'm urging you to look through it. Have conversations with your neighbors, your church groups, your civic organizations, your social groups, and most importantly, your family. Because you're not going to show up here and be a leader if your family is not safe, secure, nourished, and hydrated. You need to take care of your elderly relatives, have plans for your pets, have plans for your children, so that you can come back here as soon as possible and help us get our communities back up and running safely, efficiently, and quickly. So I only have a few minutes in public comment. I'm urging you to bring me back and have a conversation with me about what we need to do in the county to support Oceano if anything happens. I'm also urging you to have the dialogue amongst yourselves. Because as much as all of the issues are on your agenda, disaster happens all the time. And we're not ready for it. So the better prepared we are and the more conversations we have ahead of time, we're going to handle it better. Just over a week ago, believe it or not, it was 4 years since those hurricanes hit the Gulf Coast region. And I was there in Baton Rouge and New Orleans. I was a Red Cross volunteer. And what it did is it taught me a lot. It was the worst 3 weeks of my life. But I would do it again. And if it happened here, and Oceano needed me, or San Luis Obispo needed me, or San Miguel needed me, I would be there. But I'm urging you to be there with me, alongside all of the other volunteer organizations and communities and governments and organizations that are going to need to work together in disaster. So I appreciate you giving me a couple minutes. I know there's not much we can do this quickly, but I also urge you to bring me back. Put me on the agenda and let's talk about it. I'm not selling anything except being ready. My name is Carolyn Novak, and you can reach me at the Red Cross in San Luis Obispo, 543-0696, extension 13. You can also find my phone number on most of the information that I gave you. And I appreciate what you do for your community. Now let's work together to make sure we're all okay and we can handle whatever comes our way. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Public comment?
Sure. Is there an agenda anywhere?
There are extra agendas out here.
There's one on the chair right behind the...
Is the budget going to be covered in this? I haven't had a chance to look at it.
The budget, there is a discussion of something on the budget.
And the public will be able to comment at that time?
Where is it on here? Under other.
If not, I'll make my statement now, or I'll wait until there's discussion on the item.
It's item 8B, and yes, the public will be allowed to comment.
All right, thank you.
9B. I'm sorry, 9B.
Hi. Your name for the record, please?
Hi, yes. Mike Zimmerman. I just wanted to, it pertains to the district I'm running for, the 4th District Supervisor seat. And just wanted to meet everybody here in Oceano. I love Oceano. I don't know how you let Jensen Restaurant leave the area, but that was a shame. I came down here multiple times a week, but Oceano is a jewel with the access to the dunes. We want to make sure that Oceano does well, and I just wanted to say hello. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm not going to take 3 minutes or anything like that, so thank you.
Thank you so much. Any other public comment? All right. Seeing no other public comment, board members, items for discussion. Mary.
I think it's pretty well covered.
Vern.
Yes. There's going to be on September 15th, Tuesday, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the San Luis Obispo County Library at 995 Palm Street in San Luis Obispo. A discussion on particulate matter and your health. There's a study being done about the different particulate matter in the air around the South County of San Luis Obispo. And anyone interested in that, being a part of that discussion or hearing about it, there's going to be several experts on these type of issues there to speak. So if you're interested, there's a flyer at the district as well if you didn't get the date and time here and location. But again, it's September 15th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the San Luis Obispo Library.
Thank you. Jim?
Nothing at the moment.
Pamela?
Nothing now.
Well, I have a little bit here to say. After the last month's meeting, I've done quite a bit of soul searching, so I find it now necessary to mention the following things. So please forgive me if they aren't necessarily in the order of importance. I don't believe in berating or humiliating staff in public. I don't know whatever happened to praise in public, criticize in private. Also, I feel the board needs to be civil to each other. Continuing to berate another director on his or her performance is not acceptable. Once you've made accusations or implied wrongdoings in public by either directors or staff, those things never disappear, and you've hurt the reputation of an individual. No amount of saying I'm sorry can correct this. This type of behavior is uncalled for. Statements have been made by at the board and at some meetings and to certain individuals in our community that OCSD is broke. Admittedly, there are problems with the water and sewer enterprise funds. These shortfalls will be addressed with an anticipated rate increase. I agree that we need to tighten our belts where we can, but I personally feel that any reorganization of OCSD needs to be decided and initiated by our general manager, not an interim general manager. When a reorganization takes place, district policy needs to be followed. Recently, the public was told that we had not had a budget for 10 months. This statement was untrue. Our budget year runs from July 1 until June 30th. We had a budget until June 30th, 2009. Yes, we are behind on the budget by 2 months and 9 days. Our interim general manager has given us a date of October 1 for the current budget for 2009-2010 to be ready. The last thing I want to bring up at this time is the role and responsibilities of the board president. These rules come from the rules of order. 1.2, the president of the board shall serve as chairperson at all board meetings. The chairperson shall have the same rights as the other board members on the to vote, introduce motions, resolutions, and ordinances, and participate in any discussion of questions that follow these actions. In addition to such duties as are customarily performed by the chairperson of an organization, the chairperson shall conduct all meetings in a manner consistent with the policies of the district and perform the following duties. Open the session at the appropriate meeting time. Announce the business before the board in the order in which it is to be acted upon. Recognize board members and others deserving the floor. State and put to vote all questions which arise during the course of a board meeting and announce the board's decision on all subjects. If reasonable, restrain debate. Inform and enforce the rules of order as they've been adopted by the board. Authenticate by signature all board acts, orders, and proceedings, and to close the debate. Those are the rules for the president. Nowhere does it say that the president runs the board or the staff. It only says the president conducts the meeting and signs board acts. I personally try to let the other members of the board make motions and resolutions, and they carry on most of the discussions. Then I vote how I think is in the best interest of the community. I say I don't know the answer if I don't have all the facts, but I do expect the staff to have the information available to provide the answers to you. And tonight, I hope that this meeting can be conducted in a civilized manner. That's all I have to say. Moving on to review and approval of the minutes from August 20th or 26, 2009. Everybody have a chance to read the minutes?
There was mention of an attachment on page 3, which I left on by Kevin's spot there, and I would request that I believe that's the attachment referred to, and that be attached to the minutes.
Could I ask what attachment, Jim?
That was this one that was presented last time.
Oh, okay. So that was...
Does any other board member need to see a copy?
Do you have a copy of it, Mary?
Yeah, I have an extra copy.
No, okay. I mean, Vern, do you have a copy?
Yeah, when it was handed out.
Okay. Pamela, you've got your copy.
Yes.
And I have mine at home. All right.
I just like to... I think it's Cassie who types up the minutes, and I find them to be really very, very informative, so I wanted to thank her for doing such a thorough job in this. Thank you very much.
Okay, are there any corrections or additions to the minutes? Any board member?
I had one,
okay.
Just very small thing. It's related to number 4, second paragraph, the last sentence. When it says expecting staff to initiate new written policies of change, and it should probably say to address the auditor's suggestions. There's just a couple of words left out, it seemed like.
Written policies to address the auditor's suggestions?
I think so. Written policies of change to address the auditor's suggestions.
Okay.
I agree with that. That's
all right.
Proper correction.
Is there a second? Or any public comment on the minutes? Looking for a motion?
I move that we approve the minutes of August 26, 2009, with the exhibit attached and the correction.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Moving on to reports, Commander Brian Haskell of the Sheriff's South Station.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Haskell, Commander of the South Station. Just a couple items to bring up tonight. We've seen a continuance over the last few months with thefts from unlocked vehicles in the Oceano and the Napomo area. So once again, I'm asking everybody to please lock your vehicles and take your valuables out of your vehicles. Don't leave them. It makes for an easy target if you don't follow those simple rules, and if you can, lock your car in your garage. The other thing we found is several homes have been burglarized in town, and they've not been locked up properly. So please remember, lock your front doors, lock your windows if you're not going to be home, because that's another thing that makes you a very easy target to thieves in the area. We've had a little bit of an increase in gang graffiti in Oceano. On the 6th of September, we discovered some graffiti over on the post office and the commercial building next door to it. We did have some follow-up information that we passed on to Gang Task Force. We're hoping that the lead will help us catch whoever's responsible for it. But it's the usual back and forth we have between Oceano and Napomo seems to be warming up again. And along those lines, I just wanted to announce to everybody that the County Board of Supervisors approved funding for our graffiti eradication vehicle. That will be a vehicle that will be able to travel anywhere in the county and paint over graffiti by matching the color of the background that the graffiti was painted onto, so that it'll look, once it's done, like it never even occurred. And that was one of the big goals that we have, to get that program off and running this year. So that is progressing now. It was passed on the Board of Supervisors agenda on August 18th. So we're currently working to make that a reality right now, along with a graffiti vandalism ordinance that is being worked on by County Council right now. So hopefully we'll have some progress to report shortly on those items. And that's all I have for this evening, if anybody has any questions.
Are there any questions from the board?
No.
Any questions from the public? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Fire items.
Good?
Yes, all please. Right.
Thank you. Report for the Oceano Fire Department for the August 2009. During the month, we responded to 68 calls. 48 of those were within Oceano, 5 in Grover, 8 in Arroyo Grande, 9 with Cal Fire, and 3 of those on the beach. Of the 43 that we responded to in the district, 31 of those were EMS-related, 7 fires, and 5 miscellaneous calls. The time of this report put us at 543, and this time last year we were at 508, so we're about 35 calls ahead of where we were last year. As far as training, joint training with the Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach Fire Departments, we worked on self-contained breathing apparatus profiling, the packs that we wear, buddy breathing, just in case an event that our packs go bad, we can breathe off of someone else's pack. And also rapid intervention crews, just in case someone, one of our firefighters, go down inside the building. You know, we have a plan as far as how to get them out, you know, breaking through the walls, you know, that type of stuff. We also did confined space operations and awareness. And we completed, the three departments completed sexual harassment and hostile work environment training. So, and as far as equipment, in the month, we performed our annual service and testing for all of our SCBA packs. It's a required thing we have to do every year. We had the assistance of Captain Randy Steffen from Arroyo Grande Fire Department. He did all the testing for us and at no cost. He did have some parts that had to be replaced, so obviously we took out of their complement of supplies, so we'll need to reimburse them, you know, for that part of it. We're currently working on updating our radios, our handhelds. The county's got a new new communication plan, so we're putting in new radio frequencies, so we're, you know, able to talk to everybody throughout the county. We just have our mobile radios that we need to do right now. We had to replace the siren on our patrol. It failed, just I think due to just a lot of it was just the sand and salts, you know, the air, just our climate that we live in. We had them ordered, and actually, as the report's saying, they're on order, but we do have them installed as of a couple days ago. And we are starting to order our items that we had requested for the in lieu tax money. So we've got a few things already, and we've still got kind of a laundry list of stuff we still need to make that happen. It's just more getting sizes of stuff for people. 62% contained, and it's at 160,000 acres. So there was 4,000 plus people on the fire, and they're starting to demo people. Our crew got released on Saturday night. If we would have stayed another 20 minutes, we would have still been down there. So so we kind of caught that edge real quick. So any questions?
Is there a question? Camel? Jim?
No, we appreciate your efforts.
Vern? How about you, Mary?
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
We appreciate what all you've done.
Thank you.
Now, thank you. We have the appeal of the weed abatement charges. Kevin, do you want to go into this? And they may want some input from you also, Brian.
This year we sent notices of our fire hazard reduction program to all property owners within the district. The notice said they needed to abate any fire hazards on their property and to clear the weeds. Those properties that did not abate were cleared by contract. One of the owners, Mr. Davis, upon receiving the invoice, chose to appeal the charges. His written appeal was submitted, and that is attached to your agenda packet. When that was received, this whole situation was referred back to the fire department for review, and at that time it was determined that indeed an error had been made, and that basically the area that was abated is not owned by the property owner but is instead a county right-of-way. Then we had a request from one or more of the board members that this particular individual case be reviewed by the entire board. So it's before you to look at. I am requesting that you either confirm or deny staff's determination that the original weed abatement invoice was incorrect, and that will give direction to staff for this case and ones like it in the future.
I have one question on this. It says it's a county right-of-way. Does the county own the property?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh, I think the question was for some of us board members was not the individual, but the policy that drove the decision is that there were some people who came to the board to appeal the process, and there was a few people who went to the office to appeal the process. And I think that's what's in question, not the weeds themselves. And I kind of feel like maybe the point was missed.
Well, I did make a note in the staff report that the whole fire hazard reduction program, or weed abatement as it's sometimes called, is under review by the fire committee. We're looking for a more unified process between the three agencies, ourselves and our two neighboring cities, and that it's likely that in 2010 you'll be using a different process entirely. The fire committee is monitoring that and reviewing that, and I would expect bring something to your board prior to next year's program for you to approve.
I appreciate that as one of the members that had asked that this be brought forward. I would echo Mary's sentiment that I think the issue was that it seemed that that there was not a uniform process being administered, and my concern was that whatever process we use be uniformly applied. So that this addresses my concern.
I have a question of staff, please. In the past, or during also this year, did more than one person put their appeal in writing?
I don't recall. Do you know, Gina, do we have more than one out of town?
So has the procedure in the past been that you could either come to the board and appeal it, or you could send a letter to appeal it?
I wasn't here practices? In prior years, but my understanding was that you could send in a written appeal.
Okay. Thank you. And
but dealt with a lot of things, the
situation where the property owner didn't own the property.
Yeah.
One of them, I think one of the appeals that you did receive the night that you conducted your hearing was from a gentleman who had talked to Captain Bova about his situation. And there was one that came in, but we feel we were, the fire department felt they were correct in their original determination. That meaning the board kind of met the owner halfway. You didn't forgive all of it, you forgave half of it.
Pamela?
I wanted to report some of our discussion at the fire committee because it relates to this. And because we are going into a JPA with Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, we looked at what Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach have on record as ordinances for weed abatement. And they definitely have something that relates to the sidewalk area and that kind of thing. We don't have anything, so that is one area we're going to look at. I can give people copies of the weed abatement programs from Arroyo Grande and from Grover Beach. Chief Hubert said that he would look this over. We're also thinking, I'd like to see transparency, and I'd like to see perhaps all of the protests come before the board, and we can be transparent and let everybody see what's going on and who is forgiven and why they're forgiven. And that's probably a thing to just implement so that there are nothing left out or nothing that we feel that we haven't seen and it was maybe came through the front office. So we will work on those kinds of things, and there are weed abatement ordinances that the other two cities use that we will be going in with. So the chief has looked at those. All of these ideas are noted, and they will be discussed and dealt with. So I just wanted to let everybody know that we are looking at those things.
This was a good point to bring that up. But now we need to... any other discussion on the board on this? Is there any comments from the public? Seeing none, bringing it back for the board for a decision on how we want to proceed with this item. We can either confirm or deny staff's determination that the original invoice of weed abatement charges to the Davis property was incorrect.
I will move that we confirm the staff's recommendation that the weed abatement charges to the Davis property was incorrect.
I'd second that.
I didn't hear whether you said incorrect or correct.
Incorrect.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Confirm the staff's determination.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other... okay. I will call the question, please. A roll call vote, please, on this.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director
Gaines?
Yes.
Director
Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Thank you very much. So the Davis property invoice has been done away with. Find that it was incorrect. The utility items. cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. Public Contracts Code Section 22050C1 requires that the governing body orders any action after the emergency has been declared. The governing body shall review the emergency action at its next regularly scheduled meeting and at every regularly scheduled meeting thereafter until the action is terminated, to determine by four-fifths vote that there is need to continue the action. The recommendation before our board is by discussion, public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote to determine by four-fifths vote that there is a need to continue the action. Is there any discussion from the board? Seeing none, any comment from the public? Looking for just one point of question. How many years is this now? Is this 5 years?
Well, it was since the earthquake, which was in 03.
6 years? Okay. Well,
six and a half years
continuing with our emergency. Looking for a motion, please.
We're getting closer.
I move that we continue the disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning the cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water mains.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President
Hill? Yes.
We'll be presenting the sewer technical memo and an update on the water and sewer rate study, which are the next two items on the agenda.
Thank you, Kevin.
He does have a PowerPoint presentation.
This is just a more polished version of what I already have, right?
That is just a copy for your reference of the PowerPoint.
But so it's the same one, right?
No, that the attachments that you have are the actual documents, I believe, in your staff report.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just handed out just a copy of the PowerPoint slide for your reference.
Okay. Thank
yes. Great. Thank you, Kevin. Good evening, everybody. One thing I would like to ask before I start, Kevin, there are a couple common elements to the water and sewer master plan. Is it appropriate if I go ahead and speak to some of the preliminary items on the water and sewer master plan?
Madam Chair, could we take like items A, B, and C?
Certainly.
Or I mean B, C, and D. It's kind of together here.
Checking with legal counsel to be sure that's yes. Yes.
Okay, very good. All right, thank you very much. So I'm here tonight to give you an overview of the water master plan update that was drafted by Gehring and Taylor in 2004, and then also to provide an overview for you of the technical study that was done for the district's sewer collection system. Okay, great, thank you. First, I want to start off just with some common elements of both studies. As we do a master plan element or we do a technical evaluation or modeling of a water or sewer system, there are some common elements that lay the groundwork for both items, and that's why I didn't want to talk about those really once tonight, because they're relative to both water and sewer master plans. But one of the first things that we'll do, and that was germane to part of this update, especially for the water master plan element from 2004, is to update the population and demographic information. There are several sources of information that we took a look at, the 2000 census, general plan updates relative to Oceano, and then we also took a look at your accounts for both water and sewer billing, estimated number of people per dwelling unit, and we essentially kind of viewed the population estimates from several different angles. And based on that, we made recommendations for both existing and future build-out populations, both from a water and sewer perspective. And the populations essentially are one and the same, except I will say that the range, the reason there's a range of numbers up there has to do with the actual water service area versus the sewer service area is slightly different because of some of the accounts that are served outside of the district service area. So that's where you see the range in accounts there. The lower number represents sewer service, and the higher number represents water service. So again, the Water Master Plant update updates the Gehring and Taylor report that was prepared in 2004. In general, we found the report very thorough. We essentially agreed with most of their recommendations, essentially are updating it relative to converting the model from an older EPA net model that they constructed into a more modern, user-friendly computer modeling software program called WaterCAD. From the 2004 master plan update, there were a number of capital improvements that were recommended in that draft report. Since that time, a number of those improvements have been implemented. So we worked with staff and updated the improvements to the district's water system and updated the model accordingly. And then, of course, one of the things that we always do is review water demands historically. We derive the necessary hydraulic factors that are needed for the hydraulic model, verify that we can provide adequate fire supply, fire pressures, and delivery pressures to your customers. And then we take a look at all the various elements of your water system from a distribution perspective, storage, and fire flow capabilities. And again, we assess that through the modeling effort and then make recommendations for needed improvements. And then as part of this, getting into the rate study aspect of this, we generated capital improvement recommendations, not only for existing and build-out conditions, but we carved out, if you will, a five-year capital improvement program, which will be used by Tuckfield and Associates as a basis for the water rate study. So the water demands, essentially, they have not changed that much from 2004, but I will say that the per capita water demand, meaning on average how much an individual person uses per day, and that really covers all different uses, including to deliver fire pressure while maintaining the required residual. So those are all the various things that we take a look at as we go through the water master planning element. One of the other items that we take a look at is unaccounted for water, and what that is the difference between what you actually meter to your customers and what you actually produce from your water facilities. And the reason that's important is because we need to take a look and see where there may be some opportunities to reduce system losses and improve on your efficiency of your water system. Typically, AWWA will tell you that unaccounted for water in the range of 15% is typical for most communities. So you're really doing pretty well. We're not sure why in 2008 there was an increase up to about 12-13%, but in all historic years you were averaging right around 8-9% unaccounted for water, which is very good. This is just a graphic that kind of shows you how your water demand varies by season. And so as you can see on the graph there, the yellow line kind of represents what we would sort of call your baseline, meaning that's about what your wintertime demand would be. And then the fluctuation that you see in the curve represents the variation due to summer weather conditions, irrigation, and so forth. One of the things that we took a close look at was your existing water supplies. This information has not really changed from the Gehring and Taylor report in 2004, but we did take a look at your overall water portfolio. The district does have a good variety of water supplies, which is good, extracting groundwater about 900 acre-feet per year. Lopez water at 303 acre feet, and then state water at 750. So your total water supply you see of over 1,900 acre feet, and we see an existing demand current day of about 900 acre feet. Based on the population projections that we did, we estimated a future demand of about 1,400 acre feet per year. So based on that, your future water supply looks pretty good. But
we ask you now, or should we wait?
Either way, yes. I'd be happy to answer a question.
I was just wondering, the water that has been sold and committed for long term, is that factored into that?
The water that has been sold?
That's committed. So I don't want anybody to walk away thinking that we have a spare 500 acre feet of water. You know, so is there someplace in it where we have commitments for water for long term?
Well, I guess what you have right now, you have your secured supply, which we had talked about, and I'm going to talk briefly about the reliability factor of those supplies. And then you have your current service area where we projected demands, both current and future build-out.
Okay.
And then individual will serves, I believe, as development occurs, will be processed through the district as far as for providing water to new...
Yeah, just committed water someplace in the document.
We do have the 100-acre feet that we have sold to OCM.
Aurora Grande, rather.
Yes. Yeah, so that is maybe what you're thinking
yes.
about.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I understand that. In fact, I was just at the Aurora Grande Council meeting last night, and I understand that's a temporary five-year
yes.
agreement that
right.
terminated
right.
in 2014.
Temporary. Yeah. It's yes. temporary. It's not a permanent
right.
thing.
Yeah, and you're yeah. right. It terminates in 2014.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that we took a look at were the reliability factors of each water supply. And again, going back to Gehring and Taylor's report, we concurred with their recommendations on our conclusions on the Lopez allocations that they are very reliable. So we recommended that supply be considered a reliable supply, and as well as groundwater. State water, as you know, based on drought conditions that we're currently seeing today, some of the environmental issues associated with the Bay Delta smelt, there's a number of uncertainties as to what that delivery is going to be in the future. And so the state water element of your water supply portfolio is the one element that we see as not quite so predictable as compared to your other sources. And if we took a look at your current allocation and said, well, you know, really on a given year when we've got cutbacks and it's 40% of your entitlement or allocation, we would see a reliable supply of about 1,500 acre feet. And if you look at now the future demand of 1,400 acre feet, essentially it means you're still looking pretty good for the future, but you're, I guess what I would say, cutting it close, you know, to maybe phrase that. And so when you look at what your reliable supply is for the future as you continue to develop towards build-out, we'll need to upgrade some of your older meters occasionally. So there's a number of things that can be done throughout the course of time to help account for some of the unaccounted for water losses in your system. But again, your unaccounted for water is actually in pretty good shape. And I just added this one element, future recycling opportunities. And as you know, with the South County plant, there's always an ongoing potential and opportunity to look at recycled water. We did just do an update for South County Sanitation Districts in the city of Rio Grande to look at opportunities for water recycling. And as part of the district, something I would just encourage in light of the state's water recycling policies and their goals of reducing urban demand by 20% with a 20 by 2020 goal would certainly be something to keep in mind. As far as our focus for the Water Master Plan, it wasn't to focus on the water recycling program, but I did just want to mention that. Water quality is another aspect that we take a look at as we go through the Water Master Planning process. Overall, the district continues to meet primary drinking water standards. As you know, wells 4 and 5, which were identified in the prior master plan update, do have some selenium issues and do require some blending. But we haven't seen an increased trend. It's sort of stabilized, and then in a couple of years even has lowered. So there's not a noticeable trend of it getting worse. It's something that just continues needing to be monitored throughout the years. And that's just a graph kind of showing the selenium results over the past couple of years, and you can see it does fluctuate quite a bit. But there's not a real clear pattern, but it looks like in general we're getting a little bit of a downward trend. One of the other elements we really we take a look at as part of this update is how are your storage facilities doing relative to your needs? There's three basic elements, but of course one of your larger key elements for fire storage is fire suppression, of course. I'm driven by the fire flow requirement and duration of that fire flow. And then we have what we call operational storage to take care of the daily fluctuations in daily demand in the water system. And then we also take a look at emergency storage for unforeseen events, a large earthquake, fire, a major fire outbreak, and other types of events that could require you to have emergency storage for your customers. So when we take a look at all those three elements, that's how we derive what we need for water storage. Currently, the district has two water tanks totaling about 1.3 million gallons. In addition to that, we also take a look at the reliability of your other supply sources, including your turnout from Lopez, State Water, and your groundwater wells. One of the other things that we do take a look at, I actually covered all the storage requirements already, but American Water Works Association, one of their guidelines for operational storage is having about 20 to 25% of your ultimate average day, or I'm sorry, 15% of your ultimate average day, or about 25% of your maximum storage. So these are the criteria that we use in evaluating your storage system. This table is in your report. This just kind of gives you a brief overview of existing and future storage needs relative to not only your current storage facilities that you have, your two tanks totaling 1.3 million gallons, but also factoring in the reliability of those facilities. So if you look at, for instance, on the existing facilities, we did account for some storage in your well system because you do have backup power, but we obviously take a look at the scenario with your largest well out of service. But we certainly didn't feel we should account for State Water as a reliable storage because it's not reliable, and we do have that annual shutdown once a year. Bottom line, based on our evaluation, we feel that your storage needs are adequate for both existing and future conditions. Some other considerations for water storage. Tanks also require ongoing maintenance and upkeep. So there's some things that we do recommend that the district plan and budget for in the future, including tank lining and coatings, which need to be done every 15 to 20 years, thereabouts. And then also some touch-up. We did notice some pitting and corrosion in certain areas, especially around the safety features of your tanks, like the access ladders. We want to really pay attention to those types of things to make sure that your staff are safe as they maintain and work around your facilities. And then one of the last elements that we piece together is the water distribution, and that's where we take your entire water system, model it, and minimum pipe diameters of 8-inch. We do know that there are some number of pipes that are smaller in the system, but first and foremost, we looked at serviceability and ability to meet the pressure and service requirements first and foremost. So we didn't necessarily make recommendations to replace a 6-inch main if, in fact, it was providing adequate fire flow and service pressures. Dead-end mains are another item that we like to try to keep the system looped, to keep good circulation and pressure. We look at fire hydrant spacing to make sure there's adequate hydrants throughout the district system, and also look at take a look at the valve spacing and layout, so that as you need to respond, say, to a main break, do you have enough valves to isolate your system quickly and repair the problem and keep service outages to a minimum. So as we took a look at our recommendations, in general, water conservation, and as I mentioned before, and taking care of reducing some of the unaccounted for water, these are some ongoing routine type things that we would recommend. Consider the drought buffer program for the county for the state water, and then budget some money for some future tank lining and coating. And I believe it's tank number one, the smaller tank, the 300,000-gallon tank, that I think probably would be first up as far as relining the system. But it would need to be inspected and verified. And distribution requirements, most if not all, of the requirements, the recommended capital improvement replacements that we have and upgrades for your system are driven by fire flow. In general, the service pressure requirements are being met throughout the system, and it's fire flow that's really driving the replacements in the pipeline. And I know that's a little bit small. I did bring a bigger handout as well, but a full-size drawing. This just gives you an overview of what we called the priority 1, 2, and 3 pipeline replacements. And just briefly, the priority 1 improvements are really the ones that are driven by health and safety. And so areas where we're not receiving good fire flow throughout the community, those are the ones that we set as the first priority to be done, generally within the first 5 years. Second priority projects are ones that either come through maybe down the line later as additional growth occurs, or service pressures are adequate but marginal at this point, and they can be deferred for several years. Now, what we did do is, based on our recommendations, and gave Clayton Tuckfield what we call the 5-year capital improvement program. It's in a table in the last part of your report. I apologize, I didn't get a slide together on that. But we had the priority 1 improvements. We had a handful of pipeline upgrades totaling about $1.3 million. Yes. So, and as you look at that that list of capital improvements, obviously we would recommend that they all be done within, you know, the next 5-year time frame. But obviously, there's quite a bit of work to do. So, and in parallel with the rate study as well, we need to kind of balance these things. So, from a tactical standpoint, those were our recommendations. Excuse me, for the water system. I can stop at this point and take any questions, or I can go through the sewer collection system study that we did.
Do you have questions?
Yeah. Steve, I had a question about the water system. How much have we done to improve in capital improvements since the 2004 water sewer master plan? Can you tell us how much we put into that?
I apologize. I don't know the exact pipes and numbers. I know that some improvements have been done. I think the recommended list that we came up with was pretty close to Gehring and Taylor's report. So we essentially, you know, verified and validified their modeling results from 2004. But there was a handful of improvements that were done. I believe some of them may have been done post-earthquake, too, that were sort of sparked by some main breaks and things like that as well.
Okay.
It's a 206.
You have a larger copy of this map, you said?
Yeah. It's a little bit hard to see it on.
So you can't say cost-wise how much we've invested in improvements?
Craig, could you turn the lights on, please? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have an exact number, but I can come back. I do know that we met with staff and we updated in the model the pipes that had been fixed or upgraded.
Okay.
I don't have that exact number with me, but I can bring that back to you.
It's not much, though.
We would recommend looping where, first and foremost, where we're not meeting service pressure requirements or fire flow. If it's a dead-end main and it has, you know, they tend to also have some water quality issues associated with them. They require periodic flushing. But at least those can be maintained and controlled. And if they're not, they weren't a service pressure or fire flow, you know, problem, we categorize those probably more as a priority too, something that could probably be deferred till later.
Okay.
But still, you know, still require some attention from a maintenance standpoint.
I have a question on the future water demand projection. The last sentence is in the first paragraph. It says, therefore, changes in the district's service area, population of customers, and land use will primarily drive the change in demand. I don't see the service area changing very much, the land use changing very much. the population of customers has been relatively stable, although we have projections for relatively slow rate of growth. What I'm concerned with is I don't see price and ability to pay is entering into future demand. Is that to be looked at?
Well, I guess the rate study will be dealt with separately, but we look specifically at your land use, zoning requirements, and then what build out would be based on those, land use requirements. We postulated that, looked at this possible scenario where you might have some redevelopment or densification, if you will, of development. But that's not what we plan for in our modeling efforts. We put that number out there just as kind of a number to show that, it's possible that you may get some, added growth, from redevelopment or densification. But that's not what we based our recommendations on. It was based on your land use plan, current land use element and zoning requirements.
Then again, I would think that price would be an important component of future demand.
Did you look at it seems like it's mainly replacing and repairing and getting the pipes a little bit better condition, but let's talk about the quality for a second. I just as a consumer, I recently had to go buy a $1,500 water softener because my dishes were being destroyed, and most people go through this, my skin was peeling off and all kinds of ugly things were happening, right? And I also, we can drink bottled water, and so there's that added cost just to be able to consume the water, much less, the browning of the clothes, at a certain time of the year. And so those are expensive. So when you're trying to sell a rate increase, maybe you could talk a little bit about maybe some quality to our water or make us at least think that the water is getting better,
Right. Well, yeah.
I don't know how to put it,
Sure. Now,
come on now, I know everybody's going through it,
Now, the district, as with any public agency, is required to submit a consumer confidence report. So,
And I see your consumer confidence report here, the drinking water standards. And basically what you say is the feds and the California department sets the standards and kind of just pass the buck there. And so an extra filter, a little less calcium, I don't know, Is there some way, just a little token, some more salt in there? I don't know,
Yeah. Well,
you got to address quality. And then also, too, is that, we'll get to that part. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And there's both primary and secondary drinking water standards. And, of course, we're meeting all the primary drinking water standards for health. Now, we talked about selenium levels in the wells, but as you blend and you manage your water system, what you're delivering to your customers are is safe, and you're meeting state health standards, state and federal.
But can you stomach it? That's what I'm talking about. Yes, of course it's safe. We're not going to hurt ourselves, but can you drink it? I mean, can you go out to the water fountain in the hallway and really honestly drink a cup?
Well, I guess you're asking me a tough question. I drink tap water personally.
Great.
So
there is a difference, that LA has better water than we do, and that's sad.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with
that. So is there some way we can keep the good water for us and sell the not so great water, and instead of ruining the whole batch of water with some bad water? That's safe.
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer.
Okay. I'm off track. Sorry.
Do
just to continue a little bit on that subject, we have, you know, state water, the state water we get is a better quality water than the Lopez water, is that correct?
They're probably pretty comparable. But
State water is softer, less hardness.
Okay. By much or?
Ton.
Yeah, by a significant amount.
7.27.
So of the state water that we're purchasing, that kind of gets mixed with the Lopez before it goes throughout the entire five cities area,
that's
right?
That's correct. It's delivered to the reservoir.
Okay. So then the piping isn't set up, as I understand it, to be able to receive the state water
directly? No.
But if we did receive the state water directly, we'd have better quality water?
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
And but that comes with a high price tag?
Yes. That's why it hasn't been done.
Okay, and that high price tag is, do we know, like, is it a little bit high or humongously high? Do we know?
You have to put all new pipes in, wouldn't you?
It's a significant cost.
Yeah.
Can't put a divider down the middle of the pipe.
Right.
Right.
I mean, the state water comes in at Lopez, so if you want to segregate that water and bring it here, you're talking about from here to Lopez. That's
okay.
Not an inexpensive project.
It's way outside the realm of possibilities without humongous rate increases.
And when do they bring the well water in? Do they ship that up to Lopez and mix it all up? And
that's direct into the distribution system. The well water is pumped directly into the distribution system.
And that would be where?
At well 8, right behind the
wall. Oh, so we could theoretically.
And our water yard up on the top of the hill there. Both places, depending.
So there is hope.
At the and then as Steve mentioned, because of wells 4 and 5 selenium problems, that well water that's produced at the water yard is blended.
So two of them are blended up at the dam, and then we throw in the groundwater here?
Correct.
Oh, okay. So we're self-inflicting this upon ourselves.
Well, maybe the better answer is the design and routing of the state water pipeline for San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties did not come through Oceano. Would that it had been designed that way, but it wasn't. It came through Lopez. And then ourselves and Pismo, of course, are the only state water customers here in the South Coast. South County.
One other question to change the subject a little bit. You've done quite a bit of effort to understand the existing condition of our system. You've pointed out that our storage tanks need to be relined, and we even have personnel safety issues on the ladders. Overall, would you characterize our system as very well maintained to average conditions, or do we suffer from some deferred maintenance?
Well, I think in general the system is in good shape. I do think that I would anticipate that your tanks, in the coming years need to be relined and recoated. Whether it's really a lack of maintenance, it just needs some attention because there's obviously some areas where there's some corrosion and pitting. And at this point, I mean, the ladders really are not unsafe, but they just need some attention, so that the corrosion does not progress. So I think staff is doing a pretty good job overall of maintaining the system. But there are a number of components of
I think they're doing a magnificent job with virtually no resources.
Yeah, sure. And there's a number of components of the system that are old, and, it takes a lot of time and money to, keep your system maintained. And it's a continual process.
I'm sorry to ask you so many questions, but I'm reading the master plan from 02 to 06, which I assume that this is an update of this, right? And it also says that GWR will apply for public water systems that serve groundwater. Do you know about that?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure what you're referring to.
On the report that we have.
Maybe I shouldn't have this.
On the report that we got in our packets, page 6-3.
So in our current draft report?
Yeah, the one that we received under groundwater rules, line
here.
6.
So those standards there, if you could speak to this.
Okay. Okay. The groundwater rule that I have listed in there is an EPA regulation that's relatively new as of the past couple of years. What it does is it provides protection for groundwater sources, groundwater wells, that may be subject to contamination, either septic tanks or other surface contamination. Now, there's one. This particular rule may or may not necessarily apply to the district because you do have, disinfection facilities, and your water is essentially pathogen free, so you are meeting requirements. But I put this in here because there is a requirement to do sanitary surveys, if warranted. I put this in really as an information piece to the district. But at this point, it's not really something that would, that the district should be concerned about relative to your existing system.
That's what I want here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pam, do you have any questions?
I just wanted to speak to the issue again of water, the cost of water here in the district, and that would be pertinent to the rate study. But one of the things that the board, I think, will be looking at is a tiered system. And right now, we have a tiered system, so if you use more water, it costs less, which is kind of counterintuitive. So I think that really is up to the board and to Chuck Field when he initiates and does his rate study, is to look at various aspects of a tiered system that might work for us.
Yes, I agree.
Also, just a thought on Director Dean's comment, it's probably more appropriate under the rate study, but since it's come up, that tiered system tends to have a beneficial effect on those that are, say, more poor or not as economically well situated as others, because often those people are living in a type of situation where they're actually using less water than somebody that maybe has a more disposable income and having a larger lawn area or more extensive landscaping, front and backyard, or even more water-using fixtures in their house. So you might keep that in mind as we go forward, that a tiered system is also beneficial to the lower income classes.
So, can I get that correct? What you said, Director Dean, is that the more water we use, the cheaper it is?
Yes. Our system now is the more water we use, the cheaper it is.
So the poorer we are, the more water we less water we use, the more we pay for it.
Per unit.
Per yes. unit, yes.
Okay, so.
And a two-tier system flips that over. That's what I was saying. It reverses what you just said.
Yes, and it's not very much. It's a matter of sense and
right.
as it is now, but it doesn't make too much sense the other way. So, yeah.
Okay, we ready to move on to the... When he finishes his presentation,
thank you.
Do you want to move on to your draft sewer
yes.
technical memo?
Yes, thank you. Very good. So the other component that we took took a look at is the district's sewer collection system. Not on the wastewater treatment side, of course, that's a separate issue, but just on the collection system itself. And what we are looking for specifically is to look at potential capacity issues in your gravity sewer system. We looked at evaluating your existing lift station on Pier Avenue as well. So those are the facilities that we focused on as part of this technical study. Just a quick overview of your system. Now, we don't actually meter wastewater flows here in Oceano, but we estimated your existing flows based on your water, pretty much most of your sewer system. We did not see capacity issues related to your existing sewer system. And that's obviously pretty hard to read. But what we were intending to show there, and you can probably see it better in your report, is those colors kind of represent the different drainage areas that then funnel into the South County Sanitation District plant. So as we modeled your system, we essentially modeled 32 individual little areas and distributed wastewater flows through the model, evaluated hydraulic capacity for all those various areas. This just kind of gives you a very quick idea of what we're really looking for when it comes to gravity flow. We're looking at typical Manning's formula for gravity flow through a pipe, and we look at the relative depth of flow in the pipe to the diameter of the pipe, and that criteria is what is routinely used to determine your capacity and used to design as design criteria for your system. For pipes, generally in the range that you have in 6 to 12 inches, we would generally design your collection system sewer at 0.5 D over D, meaning even at peak flow conditions, that pipe won't flow more than half full in your gravity system. Sometimes larger trunks, you will design it for a 0.75 D over D and allow it to flow a little bit more full. And that's generally because the larger your pipes are, the larger the collection system area is, and you tend to dampen out some of those peaks in your wastewater system. The existing lift station on Pier Avenue, we did inspect it and evaluate its condition. Staff is doing a very good job of maintaining that lift station. It's in very good shape. It is getting on in years. It was installed in 1966. It's what we call a wet pit, dry pit configuration, where the wastewater comes into a wet well, and then it has a suction pipe into a dry well, where the pumps then convey it through a force main to the South County trunk system. It does have a receptacle for backup power, so when you do have a power outage, there is ability to bring a portable generator there to make sure that you don't have any spills or overflow. When we look at a lift station, what we evaluate is how often those pumps cycle on and off in an hour. We do that for reasons of looking at how that may provide undue wear and tear on the motors, your pumps. We generally would design a wet well system, pumping system, to not cycle more than about six times per hour on average flow. So that's what we generally look for. And the district's lift station certainly fell, you know, well within those guidelines, both for existing and future flow conditions. We take a look at the pumping capability of your wet well and pumps. We generally like to see you have two pumps in that wet well, and we like to see one pump be able to handle all the flows, including peak flows, so that you have a completely redundant pump system. And those pumps will just turn on. They'll cycle and alternate, so they get even wear. But we like to see that your existing lift station pumps can handle peak flows with a single pump without running in the duplex mode. And again, based on the flow projections we saw, we felt your pumps were adequate for that condition. Another thing we look at is the actual velocity in the force main as it conveys wastewater to the collection system. Sometimes if that velocity is too high, you can get excessive energy requirements on your pumps. All of these parameters that we checked essentially look really good for the district's lift station. One of the things we also looked at, and we're not able to go in depth, but we took some historical rainfall data, and you see those little blue lines on the chart there, and we plotted that against actual run times of the pump. So I took the actual data sheets from your staff, tallied up all the hours that those pumps ran during those dates and times, and tried to see if there were extended run period, run pump times during periods of high rainfall, and was not able to really find a clear pattern there. You know, based on that, it's not totally conclusive, but I did not see any apparent signs that you have major inflow infiltration happening during wet weather events, so that was a good sign. The only problems that the district really has with the lift station, they've really been addressed. One was sand coming in, I believe, from the restrooms, and that's been addressed through some sand traps. And then some occasional debris that may come in and clog the pumps, and staff has installed some stainless steel baskets in there that they do require periodic cleaning, but they do very well at preventing large debris from clogging the pumps. So that seems to also be working very well. Just in summary, based on our collection system model, we, from a hydraulic standpoint and capacity standpoint, existing and future, we did not identify any physical improvements that were needed for the sewer system, which is good news. We still should expect periodic and collected that we need to actually conduct the study. We have the, based on the technical aspects of what we've done, we do have the 5-year capital improvement projections ready for Tuck Field. When we get all the data assimilated with district staff, we'll get that information to Tuck Field, and he'll begin the rate study at that time.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? If not, public comment. Now's the time for public comment.
Hi, Nina Graubiel, Oceano. Can anybody here sitting at the table here tell us what the current rates are for water? Anybody from staff? What the tier is? How does that break down?
The current rates are for... Let me get the first chart. The minimum billing for the first 6 units is $23.94. Units 7 to 25 for 100 cubic feet are $225. Additional needs above 2,500 cubic feet are $295.
You say $2.95?
That's right.
So it's 25, the base, the first, what was it again, the first six?
$23.94 for the first 6 units.
Okay, so that's, okay. So that's almost $4 a unit. Is that what it works out to?
Brian, should we just be listening to public comment, or should we...
why don't you ask her to tell you, and then you can tell us.
Have staff to...
This really is supposed to be a comment, period. If the comments were made, I think they could be addressed. The item was opened back up for discussion with the board.
Okay.
Well, you're discussing the rates and talking about tiered rates and so forth.
Ask your questions, and then when we open it back up here, they'll answer you.
Okay, well, I'd like to have that clarified and on the record what the rates are so that everybody knows what you're talking about.
Okay.
Because it doesn't sound right to me that if you're... using more, that you're paying less per unit. That seems very backwards to me. It didn't seem like it would encourage conservation. And I don't necessarily agree with the idea that a tiered rate is actually better for low-income families, because actually, if they think about it, I think a lot of low-income families have a lot of people maybe living in the residence, which means there's more people taking showers and stuff, so they're using more water. So I'm not sure if that really is a benefit to low-income people from that aspect. But I think we need to hear what the rates are, because you people are going on, you're making comments based on a certain perception, and I want to make sure that perception is correct.
Okay, we'll bring that back in a moment. Any other comments? Any other public comments? Rick?
No. Lord President. Board members, Rick Searcy, Oceano. As you guys get into your studies of your rates, I would like to see the board take in consideration of the reserves that the South Sanitation District has been building over the years. you know, for out of our customers and our base, and that they would look at those reserves very carefully in these times of economics. A lot of times reserves are put there just for those reasons, to get us through an area of tough times or a capital improvement or whatever is necessary. And I know that the South Sanitation District has been, you know, they're financially okay. And then as far as the water rates go, I think that there's, you know, you need to take into consideration of some of the fat within this district or the squandering of its resources way before you start pounding the constituents of this community over the head for more money that is just going to be squandered away. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Hello, my name's Dave Angelo, and I just want to say that this engineer study that has just been presented is really nothing that I haven't already heard. This has all been discussed. This is all—it's all been done before. The fact—that's what was missed on the last study we had done. Years ago is we got this big study that we just heard. And then we said, well, how about the rates? What about the... Well, we weren't asked to look at the rates. So, the rates weren't looked at, but all this information here was all looked at and all presented, and there's nothing new there. I mean, there might be a few new water lines in town where they've built, you know, done some construction or what have you. But this isn't nothing new. This is nothing but a witch hunt. You need to get your financing part of it straightened out is what you need to do.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Bringing it back to the board. Staff, could you at this point tell us... what our current rate structure is, what we're charging for water now, per unit.
The first 0 to 6 units
are flat $23.94. Units 7 through 25 are $225 a unit, and additional needs above 2,500 cubic feet or one unit are $295.
Now, is there a different rate for agricultural land?
It's billed differently, yes.
Because I'm thinking of this thing, you know, use less, get charged more, right? Versus use more, get charged less might be an agricultural rate applied to a residential setting. I mean, that would be the only thing that would possibly justify that.
I think maybe the ag water is minor.
I don't know. But the point being is that the tiering, that you use more water, you get it cheaper. The only thing that could really be beneficial to would be a farmer.
I must be missing something here because we have 7 to 25 units or 225 per unit. Above 25 or 295 a unit.
I think what Mary was asking is when Farmer John gets water from us, does he pay a different rate, an ag rate? Or do
the... Sorry, I'm looking to the young lady who does the actual billing.
Do the farmers get water from OCSD or... Do they take theirs right out of the ground there?
Most of
them
get come.
State water for them vegetables.
No, don't they? They take no.
It takes
no.
Stuff.
I don't think so, Mary. Mm-mm. Don't they take theirs right out of the ground? So they don't
ag doesn't pay for water very much, right?
Right. I think what we're talking about are in ag meters are more the irrigation meters, landscaping meters, different size.
Or when they put a meter on a hydrant when they're building something, what rate do they pay?
I couldn't tell you. I'd rather have somebody who actually does the billing explain that.
Well, am I making myself clear?
Yeah, I understand what you mean. I do. They have different non-residential accounts have different minimums based on meter size, and then the actual number of units that are used are charged the same way.
Okay, so could we get that information? I think that that's one of the things that young lady asked for.
Yeah, she had an ordinance in 2006-1. That's the ordinance that you established the water service charges and consolidated some ordinances at that time. And we'll have that distributed to the board. That has all those rates in it. For residential, you really don't have a category called ag. You have a category called non-residential.
Okay.
And just to make it clear, because there's a lot of ag around Oceano, agriculture, large tracts of land that are, you know, tens and maybe hundreds of acres. Those are mostly all on wells, not served at all by the Oceano Community Services District.
That's what I was asking.
The urban area here that defines Oceano is mostly what defines our boundary.
Is that the same non-residential rate, or is there a separate rate for him buying water from us and then in turn turning around and selling it?
Well, when I read your ordinance, I don't see that you provided for any separate rate. It looks to me like it's at the non-residential rate.
Okay. And just, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head or not, is the non-residential rate less expensive than the residential rate?
For units above 7 HCF, no, it's the same.
All right. Thank you.
Just by a back-of-the-envelope calculation, if we charge $23.94 for the first six units, that works out to $3.99 a unit.
That's right. And if you only use one unit,
you pay $23.94.
Correct.
And that part of that is because you have to read the meters, and there's certain basic costs, whether you use one drop of water or a million gallons. And so those first six units are probably a little more expensive than the others. Then the rate drops down to $2.25 a unit from the initial $3.99. And then according to the staff, the above 25 units, it's $2.95 a unit.
That's correct.
All right. Any more questions from a board member or comments?
Well, we might want to think about diversifying our fundraising.
Can you bake cookies?
That's right, you know.
All right. Is there any, I'll open this up again to the public. Are there any more public comments on this item or these three items? Yeah, you may.
Hi, Nina again from Oceano. Okay, so it seems to me then it is already tiered, because if you're paying a flat rate for your meter and having it read and so forth, then it is tiered. Then you're paying the $2.25 was it, and then the $2.95.
It's so actually $3.99 per unit for your first six units. Then
right.
It goes to $2.25.
Right.
Then $2.95.
Right. So what I'm saying is, the first six, the amount that you're paying for the first six units is including fees for having the meter and having it read and so forth. So, but once you get beyond that basic fee, then it is tiered already, because it goes to $2.25 and then $2.95. So you already have your tiered system.
In the water and sewer or the rate study, I think they will be looking at different amounts or perhaps another tier in there.
Well, I'd like to see the CCF tiered to the...
Pamela, CCF, for people that don't know what that stands for, please.
100 cubic feet.
Okay.
With C being Roman numeral for 100.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to see how that relates for each of these tiers, because the units are broken down into 100 units. Is that correct?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. For the public, too, 100 cubic feet.
Can
I
you talk in the mic, please?
748 gallons is what 100 cubic feet is. Most of us used to work in the gallons.
I just want to bring it back to the board, too, as I think...
I saw one more public comment.
Oh, I didn't know it was open public.
I hate the people that take the second bite of the apple, but...
But I'm generous tonight. I let people have the second bite tonight.
Let me give you a little background on the purpose of the six-unit, fee. It used to be 10 units was the minimum amount, or, you'd get charged for 10 units whether you used it or not. And the reason why the board at the time chose to reduce it down to six was because we had people in a mobile home parks, retirees and what have you, who weren't coming, weren't coming anywhere close to using the 10 units. And that's where the theory of the, helping out the low-income people. Nina did, her point is very valid. I agree that there are low-income people with a lot of people in the house, too. Maybe we should have that a little closer, but that's why it was done. It was because the...
There's a lot of barricades there, so I just want to make sure that stays as one of the major stumbling blocks to moving this project forward.
Well, I guess my question to Steve would be the status of the rate study and when we expect it, when it could be completed, because that's the key before we can go any further.
Right, yes. And as I had mentioned earlier, we're still working with district staff right now to get all the data in the format that Tuckfield needs to do his study. So we have, the five-year CIP information together. Once we get that rate information, we're looking at probably about 2 to 3 months timeline.
That puts us in January.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And were you planning on adopting Cambria's policy around advising the community and stuff like that on rate studies?
I'm not sure if you're referring to the...
Separate issue. Sorry. Separate issue. Echoed seven times. Excuse me.
Is there any more questions of Steve?
Thank
you very much for your time.
Thank you.
The review and possible action on Proposition 218 procedures. Kevin, would you like to address this?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The 2008-09 budget anticipated a rate increase in both the water and sewer funds in order to balance revenues and expenses. Those increases never took place. However, the need for the increase has not gone away. It's expected that the 2009-10 budget will be submitted to the board in October, and I'm hopeful that the fiscal year end 08 audit will be forthcoming shortly after that. And as you just heard, the rate study is expected in a few months. The procedure for increasing water and sewer rates is contained in the California Constitution. So we're bound by the Constitution in the process and manner in which we fix and alter rates. The vernacular that's used for the Article 13D, Section 6 of the Constitution is Prop 218, because that was the voter-approved proposition number which amended the California Constitution. Prop 218 contains provisions for noticing the rate hearing and for the submission of protests and for the tabulation of protests. It requires you do that, but unfortunately Prop 218 does not contain any definitions, and it doesn't contain any firm guidelines, and it's caused confusion throughout the state, and in areas where rate increases have been contested, it's created lawsuits and overturned rate increases and the like. Now, Cambria Community Services District, right here in San Luis Obispo County, is a jurisdiction that's formed under the same section of the government code that we are, Section 56,000, I think. And it's developed guidelines and definitions of terms where the Constitution has not defined those terms or specified the guidelines. And quite honestly, it's one of the more thorough sets of guidelines that I've seen in use amongst California municipalities. We should have something. You don't have to recommend, you don't have to adopt Cambria guidelines. You don't even have to use it as a guide. I'm just saying, you know, they've put a lot of work into it. It's one of the most thorough I've seen. But you should have some idea of how you're going to notice your hearing, the wording you're going to use, how you're going to receive protests, who you're going to mail notices to, and how you're going to tabulate those protests. So really the recommendation was to refer this to the Finance Committee for revision, modification, whatever, or use something else, and then recommend to the board. I do recommend that you start on this now. It's going to take a few months to get these procedures established. The public should have a chance to review and comment on the procedures that are being used. That will take more time. And so my own view and recommendation is it's not too early to begin now, even though the other supporting documents are not quite ready.
Board discussion.
So your recommendation is that the Finance Committee look over the Cambria material and consider whether to recommend that to the board.
Yeah, or modify it, or maybe there's something else.
So we would only, you know, be reaching a small number. If you have multiple units on one piece of property, you're only allowed one vote. It's tight to get their district to certainly come out ahead. But I don't think the residents at Cambria are very concerned about that. But and then I find it very odd that if you're opposed to the rate increase, that you send the district is in charge of keeping those records. So I think Kevin's, I mean, he certainly is an expert in this, you know, but I think it's a shell, and I don't think it's very reflective of our community, and Cambria's drastically at the other end of the spectrum than Oceano.
I think the recommendation from staff is for the Finance Committee for revision, modification.
Yeah, and that's problematic, Barbara, because only two board members can participate in that. And most of the public doesn't know when the Finance Committee is. And, you know, are they going to really work all day long or take care of the house all day long and then drag themselves to a Finance Committee to look at the policies that are going to be implemented on each household in this little town? So, you know, sometimes I know it's irritating to constantly hear my voice, probably ad nauseum at this point. I don't see why stuff like this just, if people are interested in the policies that you're going to be expected to abide by, go by the district, and pick up the policy. It's a review of possible action for Prop 218 procedures. These are the procedures right here. Write your comments down. Give them to somebody who will take them to the Finance Committee, because there is only two people on that Finance Committee who really can have an opinion there. So that, to me, is kind of a weird way of registering your protest. But, you know, I'll write mine down.
Jim?
I basically support, I guess, the idea to look at how we might implement a Prop 218. We've been given the Cambria guidelines as a start, as a shell, as Mary says. I'm one of the Finance Committee members. My card is in the front office. My home phone is 481-5654. And if I'm not there, if I am at work, there's an answering machine on that line, and I will take comments on it. People are always welcome to come to the Finance Committee meetings, and this is something that, you're right, we will have to work out as a community. And once the Finance Committee does come up with a recommendation, that still has to come back to the full board for any action before anything was done on it anyway. So people would certainly have a time to comment before the full board took any action. So
I might also state that I'm the other member of the Finance Committee. My card is also in the lobby here, and my phone number is 440-9994, and I would be more than welcome to hear your comments and to bring them to my fellow Finance Committee person and to this entire board. Pamela.
I did want to let Mary know that they do speak to the Spanish-speaking people, and you can get the notice in Spanish, and it does say that on page one.
In English.
It says it in Spanish, too.
Yes, but it doesn't.
Yes.
And
where Cambria isn't the only one who has done this. The Sanitation District did a 218, a Prop 218, which I was there when they did it. So we have that background, too, that we can rely upon. I don't like reinventing the wheel. It's kind of to make sure that you get all your bases covered, and that's what we want to do. We might want to make sure that everybody's heard. So I support it going to the Finance Committee and working from something that's already been done, so you don't have to reinvent it.
Vern, do you want to weigh in on this?
You know, the thing about the Finance Committee is it gives you a lot more time to work things out and to work on it and to get in depth in it, where it's harder to do when you have all five board members together. You'd have to almost call a special meeting to work on this as five of us. But normally that's what we how these things are done anyway. So yeah.
Any comments from the public?
You know, they improve our water. What do they do with it? And that's what 218 ensures, that you just can't arbitrarily go out and raise the water rates because you need more money to squander.
Thank you. All right. Direction from the board, and then we will take a...
I think we have more public comment.
I'm sorry. Didn't see you coming forward.
Nina Grabia, Oceano. I don't know when, you know, you're looking at this Cambria...
There.
Is that better? You're looking at, I guess, Cambria's guidelines in response to how they're going to handle 218, and I don't know if they implemented that before or after their last rate increase, but I can tell you, I saw the rate, what the community come out in protest of how they handled their rate increase in Cambria, and it wasn't pretty. And quite frankly, what was not pretty was the way the board was responding to the public, because I considered it was repulsive. It was repulsive display of elitism was going on in Cambria. So I don't know if you guys want to get into that mode, but I would be cautioning you as to follow, if you're going to be following Cambria, because I don't consider them to be a good lead.
Thank you. Or what's the direction or desire of the board on this matter? Is it to refer it to the Finance Committee for revision, modification, and recommendations back to the board?
I suggest we do that, and I really think
many town hall meetings to explain why we need this rate study is what we need to do.
Education.
So it's an education thing. We won't be springing this on people just right out there. We need to let you know why this is happening and what's happening with all the facts and figures. And that should be town hall meetings, and that's what I think we need to have many of them, and we need to have them in Spanish, too, so there's a Spanish interpreter that can speak to people and let them know how this works. So a big part of this is you don't spring this on people just full bore. This is the very last part of the whole deal. What you do at first is let people know what's going on with the district, the things that are costing us more. We've got a Lopez water treatment plant and a retrofit and costs that we actually don't control a lot of that are being passed on to us. So it's there are things happening, and we want to let everybody know how that works, and we plan to do that. And thank you for letting us know that we don't want to do what Cambria did. So I don't want to do that either.
So on that note, and town halls are what's included in how we're going to proceed forward, and so that's why your samples are of utmost importance. I would really like to see staff bring two more examples that are different than this one. And 218 is not a new concept in the state of California. I mean, you know, it's happened numerous times, so I don't think we will have any problem going on the internet and popping in procedures for 218. I'm feeling lucky.
Thank you.
The other thing is our governance class went over the 218 procedures, so we could use that, plus the sanitation district used it.
Okay. So did I need a motion on this, or just...
You could call for a motion.
I think I'll call for a motion. You made the motion.
I move that we review Cambria's and other options for the 218 procedure, and that go to the Finance Committee for their review and to bring it back to the board they have a review. Maybe in several instances, if you can.
Do I have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Burn second that. All those in favor? I don't have to go. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. This will be referred to the Finance Committee. And now we're going to have a 8-minute break. We'll come back at 9:45. Are there any changes to be made to these letters?
I just have one question.
Questions.
As on the item number 3, project number 6703, how was the front footage calculated on that? Was it linear feet or was it square root of the area?
Yeah, Mr.
Hill. I'm just curious as to whether the front footage was calculated based on linear feet or square root of the area.
Please. Can you use the mic, please?
It's based on 95 feet.
Correct.
Presumably that's the number of feet that fronts the...
Of linear footage fronting the main.
Fronting
the main. That's
okay.
Correct.
In that case,
not
I,
the square root.
I have no comment on that.
Did you have any comments on any of these, Vern?
No.
Mary?
Nope.
I do.
Okay. Sorry, I missed you, Pamela.
Because I asked for this and we didn't give guidelines to the board, I wanted to pass out proposed review guidelines, and I had questions relating to these kinds of letters that we really need to ask the utility operator and maybe staff about. So I'll just go through kind of the things that we would probably need, because reviewing these, I had to go to the internet to get the APNs, to get the maps. So I would think we would need the application and the plan for the development, because I know on Hirsch, that particular property is a corner. They have one front footage of 50 and one of 140. Those two were added together and divided by two. So I'm not sure which front footage they're taking the service from or things like that. So I had questions. So what I did is I tried to put these questions in order for everybody so that you could see my concerns. And there's about four pages of those things that I want answers to. In future, I think what we need to see would be the application. We would need to see the plot plan or the APN. On one of those, the APN wasn't available. It must be a new one or something of that order. I also was concerned that the fire department look at these to see that they get reviewed before we see them. So, I mean, I don't want to waste everybody's time, but maybe I should go through some of these things. Because what we want to be sure is when we do board review that all projects requiring a will serve letter shall be reviewed by the OCSD Board of Directors. And the review is intended to assure all provisions of OCSD ordinances have been applied equally and fairly to all projects. And the board shall not require any project to exceed the requirement of the published ordinances. So that is the intent of what this is. However, there was, I would call it, cleanup and questions. And maybe it should come to the codification committee, the water and sewer codification committee, to talk to our utility operator and to staff about how some of these things are written, because I do have quite a few questions, including relating them to our current ordinance of 2006-1. We still don't match the water connection charges that are in the ordinance. There's a description, and those are different. I had a concern about the sewer lateral installation charge. There's a whole page of that, and it would be more properly, I guess, brought to the Sewer and Water Codification Committee to discuss at those points. But these were my questions. It's four pages. I won't bore everybody with them. I think these go as they are. I don't want to hold anybody up. But I do want to set up our meeting so that we can discuss these with especially the utility operations supervisor, who would have the answers to many of these things.
Any other board comments? Byrne?
I like the idea of going into into the committee on that. Yeah. How did you want to see this proceed, Pamela? You want to go into water and sewer on each of these items? You want to develop because it's...
Just us. So we'll set that up off.
Okay. You guys will get your dates set on that. That's
right.
That will be good. So what do we want to do with these five letters? Do we want to make any changes? Direct staff to go back and fix some things on there that you felt were incorrect.
I don't think I want to do that. I don't want to hold these up for the people that are in the process of their development. I know how that is, that time is of the essence. So I just like to, since these have brought up questions, and these will be used for the questions, I'd like to proceed with the way they are set up for the time being.
Can we just direct staff, or do I need a motion on this, Ryan?
Not really taking any action. A motion or voice vote is probably the safest.
Okay. Looking for a motion?
So I move that we accept the...
Wait a minute. Is there any public comment on this? Okay, now, seeing none. Bring it back to the board.
I move that we approve the B and will serve letters attached as presented.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept these letters. Roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. All right, thank you very much. Now moving on to administrative items. The first thing on here, we have an appointment with a liaison with the auditor. Kevin, you want to talk about that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The production of the district's annual audit for fiscal year ending 08 is nearing completion. I hope it's nearing completion, and that's the purpose of this agenda item. I want to make sure we remain on track. Once we got started this year, we've made really good timing, and we've had good speed, and we're doing quite well. And it was about this point in time in last year's audit that things began to drag, and then it wasn't completed for a number of months later. We're actually ahead of the point that we were for the 07 audit by maybe 3 to 5 months, which is a good thing. And I would want to see the good work we've done not drivel away into another delayed audit situation. The auditor is hired by the board. It's independent of the staff. And I just want to ensure the continued good communications we have with the Moss Levy Hartzine firm at this time. And so I am recommending that the board appoint a liaison to the auditor to monitor progress and production of documents on both sides, not just the auditor, but district staff as well. The audit here is, a year behind because it's for 08, and the 09 audit is running late. And rather than let the 09 audit slip into being a year behind, which happened to us in 07, I think it's just so important we do all we can to keep us on the track. And that's why I'm recommending a board liaison. Or liaison, as you say, Madam Chair.
Whichever. Jim, you want to address this?
My only comment on it is that the Finance Committee has met with the auditors before, and I know there's been emails exchanged between the auditor and staff that were sent to the Finance Committee members as well, and it would seem to me that that's probably worked out well from the description you just gave us.
Okay.
That the Finance Committee would continue to be involved with that, possibly acting as a liaison when necessary. I don't know if there's a...
Well, I would not argue with that. I would say, and maybe I could have made that more clear here, I'm looking for someone, and it can be the Finance Committee, either one or both, or alternating, to actually maybe call the auditor, not the senior auditor who's the staff is working with, but a partner in the firm, which in this case would be Ron Levy at that level, to ask him how's the progress going, or to call your general manager, me, or the permanent one at that time. Hopefully the 08 audit will be done by the time I leave. and ask them, you know, how's it going? And reconcile those two statements and to keep the board get involved in this.
Progress either on either end.
I don't quite see any stumbling blocks now, but I would like to give you a progress report where we think we are so that when you call Mr. Levy, hopefully that reconciles. And I think that's where we kind of got crossed up last year. The auditor and district staff had two ideas of where we were in the progress and who was responsible for what. So I just want to avoid that. We've gotten off to a wonderful start. Things have gone really quick once we did get started. And that's a, like I said, that's a good thing. We want to keep that up and get the 09 audit started.
Is there any other questions?
I have to disagree with Director Hill on this. I don't want to micromanage. I don't want to pay a general manager to, in his job, be to make sure the audits are completed, the annual budget's on time, and then us have to micromanage. I see this as a trap. I'm sorry to put it that so harshly, right? But 6 months down the road, I don't want to say, you were in there telling the auditors what to do. You were talking to the partner auditor, and the partner auditor was talking to the staff, and the staff said that you were undermining them, and as a board of directors, you overstepped your boundaries, and blah, 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 blah. Right? I can go on and on and on. I personally feel that this is a general manager's job description, and that it is up to the general manager, whether it be an interim or a permanent person, but this falls under that person's job description. So I have to go back and I pull up the job descriptions, and it is fiscal responsibility under the job descriptions. And in fact, several people have listed that operations and finances, their strong points in their job when they were looking at it. In fact, most all resumes that we've gotten have bragged about their financial background. So I'm going to throw the ball back over into your court as staff. And I see it as your job to keep this audit going at a good pace. And I am happy to hear that this audit is going smoother than the audit that we don't have yet or whatever, you know. Glad you see that you're doing a positive spin on it, but I'm not going to step in this pile. Sorry. I just can't put it any other way. Director, I see it as staff's responsibility.
Director Lucy, I actually agree with your comments 100%. It is the manager's responsibility. Such a request shouldn't be made to any board at any time. And the pitfalls and traps you see for the things going south are a certain reality that could happen, and it's actually why you have a general manager and delegate these things to be done. There are two major reasons why I'm recommending this at this time. I mentioned the one, and I won't belabor it much again, and that is we're 2 years behind on the 07 audit, or a year behind on the 07 audit. Well, actually almost 2 years behind on the 07 audit. The 08 audit should have been completed probably near this time or maybe a month from now last year. So we're going into 2 years behind that. And, you know, that was the point I was making. The second major thing is you're about to switch general managers. You're about, hopefully, on the near appointing someone permanent on October 9th. October 9th. I'll have been here a year. You'll remember my first contract with you was for 6 months, and then we extended that. I would just hate to see the district lose momentum during the transition period. It'll be a lot for that new manager to do. Certainly this is one of his jobs. He might have a better idea. If he thinks a liaison is not a good idea, I would suggest you listen to him and not have your liaison. But I am recommending it now, and it's an unusual step, and it is unorthodox. Directors Lucy's comments are well taken. I just believe there's, in this case, on this day, on 999, there are some overriding considerations.
Darren?
Well, the auditor does work for the board, and we have had concerns from the board that we're, you know, where the communication or whether the communication has been complete, and to have an extra person overseeing it or looking into it, so we get direct information from the auditor and not just information from one side of the two groups that are working together, the auditor and the staff. I think that
we are the ones that have to carry on and carry through what has been happening. That new general manager coming on board is going to have a high learning curve to catch up with us. So I do feel that this is something that we maybe need to get into a lot more, very similar to our codes. We need to really get into those.
In a perfect world, this wouldn't be necessary, but I do agree with my fellow board members that I think at least until our new general manager feels comfortable dealing with this, making sure it's getting done on time, it would be a good idea to have someone dealing with Mr. Levy and staff. And I'm delighted that Jim said he would be willing to do it, because he has had conversations with Mr. Levy. The only conversations I had with him was the letter that we that I sent him. But most of
his... that email correspondence to the finance committee.
Yeah, and, you know, Jim has been able to deal very nicely with him, so I would feel comfortable in Jim doing this. So...
if the board's going to vote to do that, then I say that the job description be modified, because that's a large responsibility.
Well, all I would foresee doing would be asking for a progress report from staff and from the auditor and reporting back to the board. Mm-hmm. I don't intend to do anything more than that, if that's not what's
in. Well, I think that see, you've committed to something, and you're not quite sure what the scope is that you've committed to. So I don't know if you're going to walk out of here and be handed the books and say, good luck, follow through. You're going to write the reports. Is the auditor going to report to you? I mean, I just see it not very well thought out.
I tend to agree with that, and that's why I would see the responsibility is it being just occasionally check with staff and occasionally check with the auditor and get their individual perceptions on it and bring that back to the board. I don't envision the quote-unquote writing hurt on anybody.
Yeah. We've had the auditor come before to tell us where he was or how things were going, and that proved to be a little difficult getting him here for a couple of meetings, if I remember correctly, when we thought they were going to be here to tell us where we were going. I don't see it. I see Jim just checking with them once in a while. Hey, everybody's still talking to each other. Did you get everything you need? No, public comment. Seeing nothing from the public, bringing it back to the board. Looking for a motion. Who wants to make a motion, or it can die for a lack of a motion?
I'll make a motion that we appoint Director Hill as a liaison to the auditor to monitor progress and the production of documents, both on the part of the district staff and on the part of the auditor.
I second that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to appoint Vice President Hill to deal with the auditor and staff. Roll call, please.
Director Dahl.
Yes.
Director Dean.
Yes.
Vice President Hill.
Yes.
Director Lucy.
Nope.
President Mann.
Yes. Motion carries 4-5. Okay. Next thing. The adoption of Resolution 2009-11, a resolution adopting an interim 2009-2010 fiscal year budget.
I'll have some significant comments on this item.
I'm sure. This is from Kevin. Kevin, I'll let you take it from here.
Well, I don't have, Madam Chair, thank you. I don't have much to add from the last meeting of the board 2 weeks ago on this. We're working on the 09-10 fiscal year budget. However, not be ready to presentation to the board until on or about October 1st. And then it's expected that we'd schedule it for your board meeting following that. The resolution before you then will provide funding for the salaries and operation and maintenance of the district for September 10th through September 24th.
Discussion. Pamela, we'll start at your end.
Showed at that meeting in each of the funds that we have, and then on October 1st, a full budget would be ready.
Okay.
The Finance Committee has already reviewed the projected capital expenditures for 09-10.
And as before, I think I will be sitting in on the Finance Committee.
I can't hear anything.
Okay. As before, I think I will be sitting in on the Finance Committee, but I don't see any other way to keep the district going except to approve this.
Jim?
Let me first direct your attention to the resolution that was passed by a majority of this board at the last meeting, where a request for interim 2009-10 fiscal year budget an aggregate expenditure of $85,000 for the period August 28th through September 10th, 2009 of the 2009-10 fiscal year. $85,000. And let me further direct your attention to the warrants that are being presented to you tonight for an aggregate total of $105,181. And I know that three checks were additionally issued to firefighters for their good work. And I also note that there are no salaries and payroll on these warrants. So I commented at the last time that this operating mode is a blank check, and I note now that we're $20,000 minimum over what was authorized 2 weeks ago. And according to the best estimate that I've got from the information provided by staff, we're now another $16,000 plus in the hole from the time we met last. And let me review some points. Okay, again, our budgeted shortfall of 08-09 last year was $292,500. I've projected the shortfall this year to be on the order of $398,750, almost $400,000. And the general manager's come up with an estimate from a letter that I have that Kevin produced that says that we're going to be paying $100,000 a year more in Lopez charges, things like that. Here's my perception of OCSD. It's our little ship of state. Our little ship of state, the SS Oceano. and it's going down by the stern in an ocean of red ink, largely fed by Lopez and the water treatment plant and the dam retrofit, but the increasing costs that we pay to the county. Our water and sewer fund is going underwater. The fire department is the bow of the ship. That kind of sticks out because they've been able to operate mostly within their budget. I note that we have a large admin, and incidentally, you'll notice I have a propeller on my ship but no rudder. And large admin, weighted down again by an obsolete DOS computer system that we can't get reasonable financial information out of. And you'll notice that that's standing on a three-legged stool, and I'll have more to say about that later. The flag that we're flying is a red flag, and I mentioned last time that we have six or seven of the nine red flags for fraud, and I've asked that strong policies be put in place to eliminate those. But that's my perception of where we're at, and I have some recommendations for how we might save some money. It's authority at the end of this fiscal year. The fire chief reports through the fire oversight committee. It's a relatively autonomous operation even at this point. And the general manager is no longer required to directly intercede in fire department operations. I look at our utility operation, and I think Mr. Tanaka stated that our maintenance is being done as well as can be expected with the limited staff that we have, recalling that that's a 24-hour operation. We have an operations supervisor and utility lead that are equally qualified, and we have three utility operators. I don't really see how the district could operate with less staff than that. Then I turn my attention again to the administrative staff, and I see we have an administrative assistant, an office manager, and two account clerks, and I cannot justify in my mind incurring those costs. And the unfortunate thing about it, there's some unfortunate things that go with that, and there's some fortunate things that come with it. The unfortunate thing is that some of our long-term staff would be dramatically affected by my proposal. There's no doubt about that. My proposal would be to have three account clerks, or because we're in such desperate need of qualified accounting and financial expertise here, it could be perhaps one accountant or financial guru, if you will, assisted by two account clerks. But I don't believe that we can go with the staff that we've had, especially considering, again, that the fire department is taken out of the equation. I've estimated that we would save approximately $100,000 by making the staff reorganization that I've proposed. And I say a reorganization. I note that, again, one of our long-term employees is indicated that she may go on long-term disability. I don't know a whole lot about that, but from my experience at PG&E, it seems to me that when people go on long-term disability, they're generally prevented from working.
Point of order. Is this the same proposal as you had from last?
This is basically the same proposal, but I wanted to point out a couple of things. We also have a resignation of an account clerk, which will open a position in that operation. So I would again recommend that we only budget for those positions, three account clerks going forward, and not authorize payment for the other two positions. Once again, I would allow anyone who has accrued vacation at the current rate to use that. And I would also, taking note that we have a policy for layoffs and things of that nature, that the appropriate notice and policies be followed. So that's my immediate proposal. And I cannot support another blank check that's just going to be overrun, like the $20,000 minimum overrun that was just done 2 weeks ago.
Jim, are you changing the wording on the resolution again?
Yes.
Okay. If you would be...
I would change the wording on the resolution, now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District, the following aggregate expenditures and in interim fiscal year budget limit be set by this resolution for all funds expended during the period September 10 through September 24, 2009. With the total amounts below subject to the following conditions: that no money be authorized for payment of salaries and benefits to administrative assistant or office manager position, with the exception that people incumbent in those positions who have earned accrued vacation may take those vacations at the current rate, and that further the notices and limitations that are in our personnel policies, which are attached to the minutes this evening or to the agenda this evening, be applied.
Budget, what, we estimate $30,000 a month, $30,000 every 2 weeks, or is it, it's about $15,000 every warrant cycle, correct?
That's correct, about $31,000
so
a month.
So we wouldn't really have to go through this if there was a plan on how to stop the red ink at $30,000 a month, which kind of leads back to the general manager's position of maybe coming up with an idea of how to look at the expenses. You know, I actually, when I read this, well, when I busted out my calculator and added it up, and the bottom line is, I felt deceived that a warrant pack would be $20,000 over what the board had approved. And then I thought, no, it's not intentional. They just don't think you own a calculator. So, you know, something has to be done, but... was it intentional, or was it an accounting error? Or I just don't understand how you could request another $85,000 for operations and then really spend $115,000. And I think that's where you come up with, you know, you're frustrated. You're like, we didn't tell them to do that. You know, they did it anyway. You know, and it's after the fact. And you know, so then you start getting out all the numbers and start figuring out where can we, you know, slim things down without making it personal. And there is ways of making it, doing this without making it personal. But when you don't add the numbers properly, when you don't balance the checkbook, when you say that's in your job description, you know, and you're running $15,000 over than what your board approved you for, yes, you're going to get plans like this. And they are going to be personal. And that is unfortunate. I think it can be worked out because we have an interim position in there. And we have another employee who's very, very sick. You know, so there is other ways. But I'm waiting for the staff to come up with an idea.
I did the same. That's why I came up with this plan.
You know, it's like, what does the general manager say?
Director Lucy, members of the board. Your situation here is a result of many years. Your budget for 08-09 anticipated rate increase in water and sewer. That wasn't done. What the amount of money that a rate increase was going to generate in the sewer department was $52,000. And that is in your budget on page 75 under revenues, where it's clearly spelled out the rate increase would be $52,000 in additional revenue. And in your water department, your rate increase was going to generate $256,000. To offset the sewer expenses that didn't happen, to offset the sewer revenues that didn't happen, we took a look at expenses to see what could be done there. There was $90,000 for sewer cleaning that was deferred, and it will have to be done one of these years, and probably cannot be done until there's a rate increase. Even this proposal here is not going to totally close the gap. You're not going to be able to do that with salaries and people unless you want to severely impact service to the community.
So let me understand exactly what you're telling me, that we've deferred $90,000 of necessary maintenance in the sewer department in favor of not reorganizing our administrative staff, which has to be overloaded. On the face of it, you can look and see that the fire department is no longer an impact.
So you've
chosen to defer necessary maintenance to who knows when.
There may be a place for a reorganization, a realignment, a restructuring of the admin department. I suggest you let your new manager do that, so he's got to be the one that lives with it. He's the one you're going to, or she, the one you're going to hold accountable to get the work done. It's about 14 employees, so it's over half of the payroll burden, and it's not just processing the check, it's all the rest that comes on with that. There's an incredible amount of paperwork. I'm not sure
that
run their own business and have had to deal with having, you know, the minimum of five, whatever it is, that kicks you into state labor regulations and federal requirements deal with, but it's quite a bit of effort. That's why you have that person. In fact, it was either in your 09-08 budget or your 07-08, you had anticipated one-half additional staff in the admin department. It's basically the same board as constituted tonight. Now we're talking about reducing by one. I'm just saying the workload with the fire department has not yet totally gone away. Yes, we're transitioning. Having a fire captain was a good move. That does some, but it's not quite all of it. Anyways, going on to the cost savings, also there was, in the water department, you'd anticipated $256,000 in revenue. For the last year, we deferred the water line at Beach and 17th. That was a $120,000 project. It was probably estimated too low, by the way. It was good we didn't start that. It has a new, much higher estimate, and that's in the water supply and water master plan that you just went over tonight. We're also hoping to get a grant for that work rather than fund that ourselves. We're hoping to get that from the USDA Rural Water Assistance Program. That remains to be seen whether that will happen or not. And you also entered into a five-year temporary water sale with the city of Royal Grande that's expected to generate about $100,000 a year. That doesn't totally plug the gap either. And
have you counted the increased fees that we're getting from Lopez Lake all the time by your own estimate, $100,000 a year?
I'd have to defer to Director Dean, when it was sitting at 100,000 at the time, I had to go out on a personal leave, and then
what were the dates on that again?
They reduced it because they are not going to be doing certain things, so they deferred that, and I think ours is like 65,000.
Well, what's the total project though that you committed, that we were committed to on that budget? Because I don't remember that coming back to the board and being discussed. I just remember you reporting that you voted on this and that we had voted in favor of it, but I don't remember the board voting on that.
Right, the board.
So I'm just trying to cost all these things that aren't on paper. Really.
I believe that last year the estimate...
But I'm just asking Pamela for 1 second, please. What was the total?
It was $65,000 over last year, and I'm not sure of the amount. I could have brought those figures.
Because it was like $5 million total or something. Was it $65,000 total for Oceano?
No, that was the excess.
Excess above...
What it was last year.
What it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
What was it last year?
$370,000 is what you budgeted for.
But and then it's going an extra $65,000 this year. And then will it bump again next year? Do you know?
It will indeed bump again next year because we have to pay.
Okay, do you know what the bump will be?
I think it's about $100,000 to $140,000, and
okay.
That's because we're paying.
And then will there be a bump in 11 to 11?
No, it will be the same. What's
$140,000 again?
Let her finish her answer.
Yeah,
please.
I'm just trying to get.
What I'm talking about is the state revolving fund to pay off the Lopez water treatment. That we have to start paying off starting next June. It's $140,000 our share, I believe, and that will be continuing.
Is there a time limit on that, or is it just like a bond until it's paid
it's
off?
It's paid off in, I don't know, 30 or so years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
30 years. But that does bump it up, and that is the Lopez water treatment plant upgrade.
Right. But it's a huge financial commitment for us, so
yeah,
it just has to be included. It's like the legal fund, you know. We didn't know we owed $50,000, and now we know. So
another issue there for your calculation, Kevin, is the $50,000.
It's not a blame thing. It's just trying to get a whole picture thing.
Right.
Kevin, can I go back and ask you a question? Please try not to attack the messenger. Okay. So if you look at the mutual fund sweep, right, don't think that there's anything evil or I don't have suspicions or anything like that. I actually think it was innocently just kept transferring. But now the account's gone. And that was the 30s, the 60s, and that was the bridge, really. And that account's gone. So now I'm asking you, and you can say, somebody else can answer me, how are we going to bridge it now? Because we're running 30 in the red each month. And there's no more sweep fund.
Well, first of all, on the sweep fund, the board ordered that account closed and the funds were transferred.
What meeting was that at? Because I have reviewed every single minute, every single tape. People have been looking at tapes trying to find that vote. So if you could just point in that direction, that would be really great.
I'm sorry, but my powers of recall are not that great. But I do.
Were you at the meeting?
But I do recall that. You know, I'd missed several meetings.
Were you at the meeting when that vote was taken? Because then that we can kind of narrow it down. Did it happen in January? Did it happen?
I'm thinking
before you were here.
I'm thinking it was somewhere between January and summer.
This summer? Last summer. A year ago.
Did it happen at another meeting? Because not on any of the
documented
tapes.
I don't think it was a vote. I think it was direction to staff.
Directing staff to close the fund. And who directed staff to do that?
The board.
So that's deceitful.
The board
to say that it was a vote.
It was a vote. Directed staff because this sweep account was not FDIC insured.
Who did that? I'm sorry, Gina, I didn't hear the first part.
I think you did.
No, I didn't, really.
The board directed that the account be closed because it was not FDIC insured.
For the $50 that we were in
I do have a recollection of that we were that we discussed the lack of FDIC insurance on that account. I don't remember exactly when that was, but I do remember a discussion on that.
And the regular checking account is collateralized by the bank regardless of the balance that it carries, even if it's over $250,000.
So you're saying that the money from this account is in another account?
Yes.
That would be great.
That's exactly where it is.
Okay, which one is it under? Is it in the slow fund?
I don't
have... Because they're not FDIC approved either.
I do not have a copy of the paperwork in front of me, but I think one of the other directors has it. They can show you exactly where it is.
Great. That would be great, because then problem solved. There really isn't a bleed.
Where did you think that it went?
I have no idea. To pay the bills. I figured it went to pay the bills, because I could see it just for the last 4 years just depleting, and then it went $50 in the hole. So I don't think we'd be too concerned about FDIC at $50 in the hole. And then it was closed. But then the Slow County Fund is not FDIC secured. So I remember that discussion, and I don't remember this board telling... Say, oh, shut it down, you know.
I think it was before you were on the board.
Of course. Okay. Because in December, it was still open, and it was $50 overdrawn.
I don't remember when it was.
So.
Actually, it wasn't $50 overdrawn. When they closed the account, there was a charge.
Microphone.
There was a close when, excuse me, a charge when we actually closed that account, and the bank was notified and they zeroed it out.
Okay. So was there another fund set up that
there
we could get put on? Okay, so.
There were always two accounts. One was the checking account. Every night, the sweep account would go out and take all but $100,000 and move it into the sweep account because it could earn interest. Then when the checking account needed money, it was swept back from the sweep account into checking.
I think we're getting bogged down in minutiae of the way the old accounts worked, but I think by all accounts, my little ship of state model up there is what's happening, and I think everybody would agree to that. So the issue before us is, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to watch it sink? Are we going to try to take some steps to reduce our costs going forward and manage the thing in as responsible a manner as we can?
There was a best guesstimate of what expenses were becoming in.
They saw we had a large pass-through at the sanitation department.
Mm-hmm. Is that what was not anticipated?
Right.
And this time you've noticed the amount is bumped up slightly. Maybe it's not enough even, but we didn't want to overshoot the runway either. We made our best estimate. And so you'll see the amounts there in the resolution of salary and benefits of $40,000 and operations and maintenance of $49,400. Increase. We discussed increasing them. Maybe we left them the same. I kept trying to remember.
Yeah. I think I need to go out to the public at this point. Is there any public comment on this before we bring it back to the board for action?
Nina Grabiel, Oceano. Okay, guys. You guys are the directors. What happened? You know, you guys expect me and everybody else around here that lives in this community to pay for your lack of action. And I don't appreciate it. It seems to be the MO for all government, starting from the feds to the state, down to the little local water district. Everybody's worried about being polite to their friends at the expense of the payers. It's not a good way to do business. It's not really civilized. It's elitism. And it lends itself to corruption. When you're more worried about what your little people at the table are going to think and do and suffer at the expense of other people. That's not acceptable. That's not what a republic is. That's what you give your allegiance to. You give your allegiance to a republic at every meeting. And I suggest you understand what that means, because that's what you're all about. It's about the people. It's not about your buddy system. Now, you've got somebody here, two people here, that I think are way overpaid for what they do. And how do I know that? Well, from your own admission, there's no audit. That's what they get paid to do. There's no budget. That's what they get paid to do by your direction, okay? There's no new accounting system. That's what you've directed them to do. And actually, I went on the website tonight, OCSD website. There's no agenda. The last agenda there was June. So what are these people doing that we're paying probably over $100,000 for? And what are you guys doing about it? That's your job, to make sure they do their job.
Any other comments?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, your 3 minutes is coming up, so.
I only get 3 minutes? And you get years and years to screw me over?
Excuse
when's the
me.
Next?
Excuse
when is the next? Me. When's the next election? And who's up for election?
I'm not running.
I'm not impressed.
I'm not running.
Are you
for re-election?
Good. We can do without you.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Sorry about that, Mary.
Did you jump?
Okay. Any other public comment at this time? I didn't want you to be asleep, Mary.
Lynn Hill, Oceano. On this chart, I think got left off, you also paid, Harold Wright comes in and works too, so there's even more admin staff. And I guess the three that didn't want to make any changes last time, I would ask you to reconsider. Yes, we're still bleeding. I hope when the warrants come around, you have to sit there and not go over the budget that was allotted. And please, you're financially abusing the people of the town, the three directors that want to wait. As far as waiting for a new GM, Kevin's been here a year. You've had people, but the board has problems. You must think about the people you're representing. We can't bleed anymore. You are wasting money. You are. And you're being fiscally abusive to us. Cut it out.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment? Bring it back to the board for, I believe we have a motion, Jim.
Yes, I made my motion that we...
I'll wait until you're done.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm going to wait until you're done.
I apologize.
Okay, am I going to be allowed to speak now uninterrupted?
Of course.
Come on,
thank
please.
You. Comes to us late. It's not shared with us ahead of time. And the last time it came to us, what there basically was being said was that we were going to fire the person that that had intended on going out on a disability in the future, and we were going to ask our administrative assistant to do twice as much work at half the pay, and it easily could have caused as many people as four to walk out of this district, which would have shut this district down. It's a good thing it didn't pass.
And now here we are, after we've already voted it down once, listening to it a second time, which is also outside of our normal procedures.
Point of order, Vern. The motion that was made last time was for the two-week authorization. That's already expired. This is a new issue, Vern.
Vice President Hill's correct on that.
Okay, let me double check that, because my understanding was is we had two votes last time. Okay. We had let's see here.
Vern, Jim's right.
Okay, this is okay. All right. Well, we had two votes, and my understanding was is that that the first one was on this rearranging, only allowing so much money and rearranging this this order of how our administrative staff was set up.
No, it had a motion with. A motion with the amended amounts and saying who would not be paid. That was turned down.
Okay.
And then a motion was made to put in the interim budget. And then now here we are again tonight waiting for looking for another 2 weeks and another resolution. And again, the resolution has been amended.
Okay.
And
well,
that's and it's been amended at first, or a motion and a second. And Mary, you had your hand.
Right.
If you're finished,
I'm not finished.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, and so anyway, it's coming to us at the last minute. It doesn't. It's not something that should be coming here to the board first thing without the rest of us having a chance to analyze it. You should take these type of changes to personnel committee. And let them be worked out where we can get the information and it can be looked at and worked on so that that we all can understand and know what is being done and not something that we have to sit here and figure out at the last minute. Something that's brought to me right here at the board without me having a chance to take a look at it and examine it, I'm not going to vote for something like that. I don't know all the ramifications of it. It would be completely irresponsible. So, basically, that's all I have to say on it.
Mary?
Well, first of all, you know, throwing, you know, there goes that personal spin, that fabrication again of implying that a long-term employee would be fired. Shame on you. Shame on you. Nobody ever, ever, ever said somebody was going to be fired or cut loose or whatever you use to inflate the situation, you know. And I'm sorry, Mr. Dahl, how much time warning do you need? There was a presentation last board meeting, which was 2 weeks ago, so I'm sorry, I don't understand your definition of the 11th hour. Nobody said anything about laid off. It's redirecting. And until some other board member or staff comes to the table with another plan as to how to come up with $30,000 extra dollars a month, then that's what we have. But you would rather not balance the checkbook. That is irresponsible. That is irresponsible, writing hot checks. That is irresponsible, not spending money that you don't have. I don't do it in my household, and most households don't do that, or they don't have a household. Sometimes we have to make tough decisions. We have temporary positions here in this district. Things could be shifted. Things could be designed. And who says it's permanent? You know? So it's, you know.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
No.
Director Dean?
No.
President Mann?
No. Now we are looking to see if we are going to fund the district for the next 2 weeks. Or are we going to turn off the lights on Monday?
President Mann,
yes.
I would plead with you that staff at least, at minimum, get the warrants down to 85,000. That's just salt in the wound. That's just a slap in the face. You know, that's unacceptable.
I agree.
So I say that, you know, that you go in the back room and start cutting some of this stuff out of the warrants, because otherwise we're going to go line item by line item by each description justification.
That's fine.
And we could be here till, I'm good to go till 3 a.m.
Well.
A lot of cut salary. State did it 18%.
All right, what are we going to do with this?
Just failed. Again.
You should have a budget to us by not the following meeting, but the one first one next month, right?
Kevin, maybe you could explain to us again as to why we don't have an annual budget. It's not tied to the audit. I've operated on many times with annual budgets that don't have audits. So is there a reason why?
Well, I went over that last meeting. I took full responsibility for you not having a budget. And explain what I thought were the reasons why. And I don't know that it's necessary to rehearse that all over again. I've taken full responsibility.
September, we're passing every 2 weeks. I think that until we get a budget, you need to go over it. Because I just don't understand. And I'm sure other people don't understand that. You don't need an audit to have an annual budget. It's a projected budget. It's what you project. It's a goal. It's a road. And you have to make modifications sometimes. So I don't understand your rationale for not having.
I don't have a rationale. It was coincidence of circumstances, I guess you might say, and I explained that at the last meeting. I'm not sure it does any benefit to rehearse it here. Again, I took full responsibility. It's the general manager's budget, and I didn't get it to you on time.
Are we now working on the budget?
Yes.
Should be here first meeting of next month. We have a lot coming up for our next meeting.
For next meeting? Not that I know of, no.
Now, it takes you a lot of time and the staff a lot of time to put together all this. I mean, we're looking at a lot of effort here to put together this meeting. If we don't have a whole lot coming up, if we do away with the next meeting, would that give you more time and help get things done?
That would help ensure that you do have that budget by the 1st of October.
Vern, let me direct your attention to the June 24th, 09 staff report, adoption of resolution 2009-05, at that time a resolution adopting an interim budget, because we didn't have a budget. First line, staff is working on the draft 2009-10 fiscal year budget. So they've been working on this thing, Vern, since June at least. And August 26, staff is working on the 2009-10 fiscal year budget. The effort continued. They've been working on the thing for 3 months at least. So
okay, and so if we did end up not having the next meeting this month, that would give you some breathing room to get this?
That frees up several hours.
Several meaning tens and 20, you know.
It's quite an effort to support these board meetings, yes.
Yeah. And if we don't have a whole lot coming up, I think maybe that's something we should do.
Well, if you're going to do that, then you should revise your operating resolution to just about double those amounts.
Okay.
have to take place, including the accounting system audit and all of that stuff. The accounting system has to be changed, and we'll be talking about that, so that should free up some time. Maybe we don't have to rehire clerical staff, account clerk staff for a time, but I don't know how one person at the front can handle all of that. Sometimes they get very busy. So I think the new general manager who we're working on, we'll be talking about later tonight.
It's going to have to be
the one to make these decisions, and they're going to be tasked with looking at this stuff. Right now, we've still got the fire department, we've still got the audits, we've still got the budget, and we still have all of the numerous things that we have to do in the front office. To just cut away at it without being there and analyzing it, you're right. We need to analyze it. You just don't go in there and do it. I don't feel comfortable going in and analyzing the management of our front office to see what people do. I do know that the payroll takes a tremendous amount of time. You just don't do that really, really fast. I'm not in favor of changing that right now. Perhaps you wait a while before you hire account clerk, since we'll have a vacancy there, and see how that works out. Maybe you can try it and see how it works out with one less person in the office. It may work out, it may not, but at least we could get feedback and we know how it's working. A lot of times you can, and that way it doesn't cut into or demote or we'll speak about other things, not layoffs, but other things in the next item. But I think we have to keep going here. I mean, we're at the point where it's a watershed of things coming down, including our master plan, our water sewer master plan, which is almost done now, our rate study, which is getting going, and we will be getting on with our work here. There's a lot of work for everybody.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I think you get pretty much got a consensus of the board.
I guess you got all my nine yards.
Okay, there was a statement that staff needs to cut down on, cut this warrants list down by 20,000 or something. Is that going to be an issue? Do we have to look at that first to see if that needs to be pushed over to this budget here that we're approving, or are we going to approve that? We need to go back and see if we're going to approve those warrants first before we go and pass this resolution here.
The items on your warrants are no different than you've been doing for a long time, what you budgeted for last year. When you get your budget, they're going to be in your budget this time around.
I realize that, but there was some statements about having to reduce that by 20,000 because it's...
You know, I know it's got spinned. Oh, you guessed it would be 80 and it came out to be 100, but it was our best estimate. Mm-hmm. And we should have estimated way high. The first ones that you adopted on this, which was for a longer period of time, was 200 and some odd thousand.
Okay, so this 89,650 you feel is adequate, regardless of what happens when it comes to the point of approving the warrants.
Based, and remember, when this resolution was prepared, we didn't quite have the warrant list, and if I was to prepare it again, I probably would increase each of these accounts by 10,000 or 15,000. So that's what it's been running.
So is 89,650 not enough?
It's not enough.
It's not enough.
Then what should it be for the next 2 weeks?
It should probably be increased, the salaries and benefits by another 10, and the operations and maintenance by another 15.
So 114.
The salary and benefits, you feel you underestimated?
The problem here is that you have $105,000 in warrants that do not include payroll.
One reason why I'm saying salary and benefits, our fire crew, or one of our fire captains was on the state last Saturday.
Correct, yeah. His first or second day is when the payroll line
hit. I had 2 days on one last payroll.
Yeah.
So 50,250, do you think that's enough for salary and benefits?
I'm sorry, how much?
50,250?
No.
No? How much?
85.
85 for salaries and benefits?
Because you do not have the salaries and benefits for this past 2 week period that are being paid.
Yeah, they're not in the warrants.
That are not listed in the warrants.
I've forgotten about that. Okay. The warrants aren't even in there.
We need to pay.
For payroll.
Right.
You absolutely have to pay
right.
Salaries.
So, did we
have $85,000?
Right. We had $40,000 in here, which were the payroll tax deposits and the payroll for one complete regular payroll.
Okay.
It's higher because we had increased overtime. And then you're going to have to cover another payroll on top of that. That's where the 85 is coming from.
Is that cutting it close?
Pardon?
That's cutting it pretty close, though, right? Because of all the overtime as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how much was the operation and maintenance going to be?
Well, the operation and maintenance that you have in your packet now is $105,000. $65,000 of that are the collections that we will turn over to the sanitation district. We have to pass that through.
Okay, so how much do you want for the next, for the September 10th through the 24th?
That's $65,000 handling to San District, that's in this batch.
That's correct, in the
$105,000. Right. So that probably.
That's kind of like. That's not like our operation and maintenance.
Yeah.
I mean, we collect that on their behalf and then send them what we've collected on their behalf.
So right now you're short about $20,000 on operations and maintenance.
So 69.4 is what you want for operations and maintenance for this next. I want to know what are you asking for? I'm sorry, I don't mean to be honest.
Yeah, I think that 69.4.
I think it's called a blank check.
Yes.
So the total budget that you're asking for the next 2 weeks is $154,400. Is that correct?
Yes. That's correct.
So that will pick up the salaries that are not included plus the next 2 week period.
Did we already do these checks for these people that you say the salary that's not included? We wrote them, and we didn't put them in the warrants?
Right. I wasn't here.
And the person who prepared the payroll wasn't here, so we didn't have the information.
Okay, that's I just
it.
Was asking why.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So we need a budget of $154,400 to operate for the next 2 weeks.
Plus the payroll from the prior 2 weeks.
The number you gave, Chairman Mann, is correct.
Chairperson.
Thank you.
Whatever.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. That was the 85,069,400.
Yeah. And of course, as we talked last week, if we don't do a budget at all, then we're not open on Monday. Is that correct, Ryan?
No, I believe you can stay open short of you saying don't spend any more money. If you say don't spend any more money, there's really no option. You would have to close down. The only statutory requirements actually in the Constitution says you can't take on more indebtedness for the year than you receive. Now, without a budget, that's all.
Okay.
So
just theoretically, we don't pass a continuing budget, but then in 2 weeks our salaries and benefits have to be paid. Those would have to be paid, correct?
Absolutely.
Even though we had not authorized money, those would have to be paid. The other things would not have to be paid at that time, correct?
Well, no, it wouldn't have to be paid. I'm going to get calls from your vendors, but yes, I believe that is correct.
I mean, we've paid the electric bill, so the lights would still be on. We did pay that one.
And the fuel.
And the fuel for the fire, or for the water trucks. I don't know where the fire department gets
it. Fire truck.
Fire truck. Well. We paid the fuel bill for the fire department. So you can get... You'll be able to go on your calls. Well, that's one option. What do you folks want to do?
And just for a quick status update, there is no motion in front of the board right now. The last motion was defeated. And
so
right now there is nothing in front of the board.
Okay, so if no motion is made, then it would be saying what I said would happen.
Okay. Ryan, just for everybody's understanding, put together as best you can all the options we have and the consequences of each of them.
You could say don't spend any more money, in which case I would still advise that you make the payroll for hours worked so far. There are emergency services, i.e. the fire department, which I believe you absolutely would have to continue paying them. But you could say don't spend any more money and we could shut everything down. You could do nothing, in which case I believe that you can still pay the bills. I would beat your door down to make you pay all the payroll, all the benefits, as each payroll accrues. You could continue to let bills that are not paid go unpaid until a budget is in place. Obviously, that's going to affect credit and having to deal with, past due debts and any finance charges that might be involved there. You could pass the resolution as amended. Resolution as it is. And inevitably, it sounds like a whole lot more is going to get paid than this. You could amend it to include the amounts that the administrative assistant and interim general manager have suggested, in which case you're not really doing any more than either way, the money is going to get spent.
Okay, so it's either we close the doors and nothing happens, or we do it and all the services stop, or the county comes in or whatever, or we approve the money and we go on and we conduct the business that needs to be done, and we keep going.
No, I think you could not approve this resolution and you can still operate.
And okay. The salaries and benefits would still be paid.
And what would happen with the bills?
Theoretically, I believe that they continue to pay the bills unless you instructed them not to.
So basically passing this or not.
I'm sorry about that. We're talking about what happens if nothing is approved tonight. I do believe that the district could still pay the bills. Or I just had to let them go.
So it really doesn't make a difference?
I would think that doing nothing or passing it as stated or amended with the higher amounts are all essentially the same thing.
Okay.
They have the same effect.
All right.
So do you want to operate as a district? That's what this is all about? Or do you want to, you know, it looks like there are people here that just want us to stop operating.
That's a gross misrepresentation, Pamela.
Yes, it is.
What we're trying to do is to minimize the expenses that are passed on to our ratepayers and nothing more. No one has suggested stopping the operations of the district.
No, I did.
Board of Directors for the Oceano Community Services District and the following aggregate expenditures for an interim fiscal year budget limit be set by this resolution for all funds expended during the period of September 10th through September 24th, 2009 for salaries and benefits category $85,000 for operations and maintenance $69,400 for a total budget of
$154,400. Second.
Public comment. Three bites to the apple.
Well, that's you guys aren't doing anything to solve the problem. You've done absolutely nothing to solve the problem. There hasn't been one suggestion from anybody except one boardman. Now, maybe I should write a letter to Obama and have him make me the Czar of Oceano or something. I don't know. Something needs to be done. You guys have got to change something. I mean, you know, I could give you a couple quick ideas, but they aren't enough, you know, right off the top of my head to make a difference. But I know this. I don't know what AGP is costing us every month. And, I mean, that's not a necessary positively have-to-have type thing. In fact, I used to be in the retail business, in the TV business, and I bought airtime. And I know how expensive airtime was. And there's certain times of the year that you didn't buy advertising because of political reasons. During a political time, they have fixed rates, so you don't get any good deals. No deals. Everybody has to pay so much. But you can't even find one of our meetings on the damn TV anymore. It used to be you could pick them up, you know, scan them through, you'd pick them up. But they're not there no more. You know why? Because they're got the Coastal Commission, da 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 da, on and on and on and on. You know, and it's just an unneeded source of revenue that you guys are spending. And that's not going to solve your problem. Second thing is all these extra meetings and special meetings and. It just goes on and on and on. And you know, you're not doing anything. You haven't done one thing tonight to try to fix it. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Madam President, I'm sorry.
I know. Yes. Once more, 10:30 has approached... I need a motion to continue this for...
Move to continue to midnight.
Second.
But I'm going to need a break if we're going to go that long.
Midnight?
All those in...
Well, just saving you three...
Up to midnight.
Hey.
Three motions.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. I'm sorry, Lynn, now you can public
That's
comment.
That's fine. Lynn Hill-O'Shano. There are three board members that I think should really search their soul and step aside. They have done nothing to help this town and save money. And proudly, Pamela announces, let's spend another $160,000. That's a great idea. On top of trying to say, oh, well, somebody wants to close the district. Nobody said that. At least get your facts straight. Also, poor Vern. He said he never saw this before tonight, but earlier tonight he said he did have the paperwork on it, but hasn't come up with anything. I also have a question. I watched the tape closely a second time, and I believe Kevin said that as of May 15th, he wasn't here for that. But I was wondering why you had such a big check issued at the end of May. You didn't answer the phone. You didn't do anything. And then you had a smaller check issued in June. So, and you know what? Maybe what you could do, furlough some management positions for a while. Let the clerks run it. Let the clerks do it. A temp agency. The fire department isn't the issue. They live within their budget. The water guys need to be here. You do not need all this management. But I'm asking three board members to strongly consider stepping down.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Certainly.
Just for the record, my check in May, at the end of May, the check date of May 29th was for 11 hours, and I'm not sure.
Where are we? Is this an agenda item we're talking about?
No,
I
don't have to respond to it.
No, go ahead. Please do. Otherwise, it leaves a question in everybody's mind.
And it was for $795.24 for 11 hours in May. That pay period ended May 23rd, and I only had 11 hours.
During the period, September 10th through September 24th, 2009, salaries and benefits, $85,000, operations and maintenance, $69,400, for a total budget of $154,400.
And you had a second?
Yes.
Second. Roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
No.
Director Lucy?
No.
President Mann?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0.
I believe
is there a snake in here?
3-2.
Yeah.
3-2.
So did you approve that break with when you extended the till midnight?
If you'd like a 5-minute break, take a 5-minute break.
Well, by law under the ADA, we do have the right to a break every 90 minutes.
5-minute break.
We'll have to, some we'll kind have of to, statement we'll have to the public.
Call the meeting back to order. Council, will you inform us of what's going on?
Yes, Mr. Vice President, to remaining members of the board and to the public, President Mann has left the meeting, so Vice President Hill is now the chairperson for the remainder of this meeting.
Okay, I note that the a majority of the directors have left, and therefore we no longer have a quorum. So I will
at this point ask for closing public comment, and after that we'll adjourn the meeting. Is there any public comment at this time? Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair, Board Member Mary Lucy and staff, Rick Cersei Oceano. You know, I have been pretty much involved in this community for many, many years. And one comment I would like to make, I kind of resent Pamela Dean's comment on how they were picking up the ramifications of the past boards and the past founding fathers of this district. And as far as I can recollect, when I left office, we left OCSD in a very good financial situation, and not only with reserves, but with water resources and plenty of avenues to follow. And it shows to me today that our public here in this community has elected some officials that seat here today. They got on their soapboxes and promised that they were going to pick up the reins and take this community, you know, forward. And I would just say this is a sign right here that there's big, big problems in the leadership and the direction of this community. As you pointed out, Mr. Vice President, a sinking ship. And I think three of our captains is their failure to plug the hole is determined to make this district sink. And it's you know, I would just say out to the general public that this needs to be ramified, and that if this is the kind of leadership that these people want to present to this community and leave us holding the bag, then, you know, they can see for themselves. And it's just a sad thing that, you know, three people get up and can't finish district business. And it's just a sign of what's happening to us financially and in which, you know, direction we're actually going. And it looks like we're going down. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
I just don't know what to say. I mean, this, you know, I consider everybody here a personal friend, other than I don't really know Pamela very well at all. In fact, I really don't know her. And I don't really know the GM.
It's going to be to have no permanent GM during her presidency. Well, we've got staff here. I mean, I really think that they should be furloughed, but these three, all they came to do tonight was spend. I want some leadership from you two, as we've had in the past. Go to the newspaper. I intended to go plenty of places that the three of them left tonight. That needs to be newspaper worthy. And you and Director Lucy need to help get this through. This leads me to believe, gee whiz, we did have red flags. I think we need a forensic audit. And I would like to help lead a recall. If anybody's out there and wants to do it, interested in the seats or hearts in it, maybe some of the past directors come back, I will walk the streets. But these three, shame on them. They need to turn in their resignation. They're pitiful. And I hope the newspaper hears about this right away. And to the staff, I wish you could earn your money. And to you, Kevin, I did pull all the warrants, and I have them. Maybe you should go back and look at the warrants, too. You got checks twice in May. So I would recommend that you go look. I did pull them.
Thank you. Is there other public comment? Okay, again, lacking a quorum to go forward, the meeting's adjourned.